hello there, kitties.
Good morning.
866-901-ADAM, Teresa Strasser. Good morning.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Man, beautiful as always.
Thank you.
Danny Bonaducci was looking at me. Danny Bonaducci, good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Let's see. First, I should tell you we're going to play a little Mr. Brightside early this morning. So about next 15 minutes, 866-901-ADAM, you call up. You tell me your problem. I'll make them melt away. It's all relative. It really is relative
in
life.
Make my relatives melt away.
No, that's that's what I'm talking about. All my problems are relatives. No, it's so true. What you can get upset. I mean, look, a bird could crap on your Jag, which is your fifth car, which was which you won in at a game show, and you could be pissed off about it.
Sure.
It could ruin your day. Or you could be living in a town that has no flowing water and you're watching your youngest die of malnutrition. And I believe you would feel about the same pain.
I'm with you.
It's a weird thing. Like, I'm not sure.
Does that mean my youngest? He's still cute.
Let's
your daughter's cute.
Put the goth chick in
there. She's cute. Yes. You're talking about perspective and relativity.
I'm saying that I have this thing in life that when you kick... When you're barefoot and you jump out of bed and you kick the metal bed frame and you just jam your big toe, I don't know for a split second if there's more pain felt having your hand cut off or kicking the thing.
Okay.
I mean, for 2 seconds. Now, eventually you realize your hand has been cut off and you go into shock. But for that second when you kick that frame, I don't know that someone taking a chainsaw to the back of your neck feels worse or better. I think it's the same, and I think that moment you discover that somebody keyed your Jag for that moment, for that second, probably as bad as when you walk in, you see your whole family slaughtered. It's just later on, you feel worse about the Jag. I know you thought I was going another direction.
I didn't.
Okay.
I just malice is a different thing. The bird didn't have any malice.
Well,
killing
that's
your whole
true.
Family and keying your car, that's malice.
Well, unless it was a mockingbird, because it's right in the name.
Yes. Pain and discomfort
so
are
here's
uniform.
Here's my thing. When you get up in the morning and you stub your toe and it's so painful, and this is just morbid curiosity on my part, what do you do? What's the first thing you do?
I think there's a sound that comes out, and then there's a sort of movement, kind of a running it off, kind of a tiptoe, sort of somewhere between a touchdown dance and I'm on fire.
How's the sound go?
Kind of move. For me, it's a lot of... I yell mijo as loud as I can.
Yeah, for me,
it's a lot of under my breath, sort of.
Under your breath, even if it really, really, really hurts, still under your breath.
Yeah.
No screen.
I always feel like there's somebody I'm going to wake up. My house has some form of life sleeping at all hours of the day. My dog sleeps 19 hours a day. My wife probably more like 14 or 15. The kids are always asleep. At least one of them's asleep at some point. Something is sleeping, Oswaldo. Something is sleeping in my house all the time. I'd like to find a time where things weren't sleeping. Now, when I left, I had four things sleeping, but when I come home, only two of them will be
your
sleeping.
Your problem is that you've done well enough in your life to make people lazy. I was going to write an article one time, because I like to write, and I was going to write an article called Getting Rich by Being Lazy. And if you think about it, I'm too lazy to cut my grass. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
So I'm going to work harder to get a guy to cut my grass.
Yes.
And then I don't want to clean my house, man. So I'm going to work harder so I can afford somebody to clean my house. And the way up the ladder is because I'm too lazy to do stuff.
Well, there's two topics. One is, yes, you are correct about the things. As a matter of fact, I actually looked at my wife as I left this morning, and I looked at my dog, Molly. And my dog, Molly, some dogs sleep. My dog sort of sleeps times two, like just splays out.
Right.
Oftentimes we'll put the paws together like she's like what you do
Super
if you're
dog.
Hanging her. Like if you captured her out in the wilderness and we're bring her home on a stick. Both paws together, splayed out about 45 degrees. I said, you have your sleeping mascot with you.
Right.
She's like a sleeping muse.
I like that.
She really is.
I like that.
Look, if you have trouble sleeping, you can go the pharmaceutical route, or I'll send my dog Molly over just to splay out on top of your bed. You'll fall asleep immediately just looking at a creature that deeply into sleep. Once in a while, does a big...
See, speaking of my youngest, the 5-year-old, I go the pharmaceutical route. Mm. Just kidding.
My letters.
To my wife. Just rub a little Valium on his gums just for a second.
Sometimes on a plane, aren't you tempted to give the kid a little brandy?
Valium. No idea what I'm tempted to do on a plane because my kids fight and that's the only place I take that pill and abuse so I can't drink is at airports and on airplanes because I'm not scared to fly. Just my family is pandemonium.
They're calling it Dan abuse now.
Well, so back to the subject that Dan brought up reminded me of, which was, yes, you need to have somebody do stuff so you have a nut to make each month so you'll go out and work. I've seen this problem firsthand with my family, not the one that's living off me now and sleeping. My family that I grew up with, they're such penny pinchers. I mean, they would literally... If we had two choices when Christmas came around, we could either drive down to downtown L.A. and wait in line at a train station for the cheap surplus trees to be offloaded down at the depot.
Really? Are you kidding? Or is that what we do?
No, yeah. and pay $10.
See,
or,
I love that story that you did that.
Or you're going to be in love with this one. We could go cut down a branch from the crappy pine tree that was in our front yard and actually lean it against the wall. They're that cheap. But here's what...
How would I know that?
Thanks, Ma. Super, ultra, mega cheap, the Corollas. But here's the thing, and poor. Being cheap and poor and being the kid of that is like you run into a guy who's a fifth-degree black belt but has... anger issues as well. You know, I mean, that's a bad combination. If you're going to find some guy who's an ex-NFL lineman, you hope he's sweet as the day is long.
And they usually are.
And they usually are, thank God. But if you run into that guy he has anger management problems, that is a horrible day for you. That's what this is. This is cheap and poor. And the thing is they're nut. I mean, my family's nut was no mortgage, because they lived in a house somebody bought many, many years ago for almost nothing and squatted it. No car payment. Nobody ever drove a car that was close to new. No credit cards. Nobody owned a credit card in my family. I mean, my mom's monthly nut when I was growing up was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $245. I mean, gas, electrical, food stamps, little welfare. That was it.
Let me tell you, these days are over, so don't call me up and give me a hassle about being an elitist. But when I was doing the other half, Breaking Bottaducci and had that radio show, Gretchen threw me out of the house. Remember I told you that?
Right.
So I called a lawyer trying to figure out the cheapest way out of this.
Right.
And he said, well, it's just a mathematical equation here. It's going to go. It'll be $4,500 a month child support and $12,000 a month alimony.
Right. My mom did
That's almost $17,000 a month I owed her.
My mom did the whole thing on about $350 bucks a month.
I can't believe that, because she was raising you and your sister on that.
I love you, honey. Please don't leave me.
Raising's a relative term, but yes. We were like weeds that would grow even though they weren't fertilized or watered or fed or anything like that.
But breaking through the concrete.
Pushing through toward the sun.
How should I know?
Point is my family had such a small monthly nut, they never had to go work. I will go out and buy myself a big ticket item every once in a while, like an expensive car to motivate.
Bought a Big Mac yesterday.
The hamburger?
No, because I don't know the difference. The iMac, an Apple computer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but just went in and said, I'll take that one.
I like what you're saying, because I remember when
Hold on. He was in someone's living room. What's the problem?
That's scary.
They just jumped.
I had an apartment when I first moved here. It was $380 in Hollywood, a studio. And then I was really nervous to move into my $720 a month apartment. But I thought, if I move, then the work will appear, because I'll have to earn more money. And I did.
Absolutely. And you hear...
I don't know about a peer, but you're right. You'll go
manifest.
Get that money.
You hear cautionary tales all the time about don't overdo it. You know, there are these MC Hammer. Oh, this guy was living large. He got his posse, bought his house. He had all gold fixtures put in.
Aladdin
now,
pants.
Next thing you know, he's bankrupt. Yeah. Well, obviously, that's an extreme. But we live in a society that sort of says, slow down, slow and steady wins the race. Don't save that money. Don't overspend. Watch your blah, 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 your expenses, so on and so forth. Put the money away for the college and all that. I say, fine, but only to a certain extent. You need to stay a little bit out ahead of yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
You need to have the proverbial carrot dangling on the stick. If it's like my family, the carrot's in the rearview mirror of the 71 VW Squareback that doesn't run right. If you look in your rearview mirror and you see a carrot, if your carrot is in the rearview and not outside of the the windshield, bad sign.
Bad
because
sign.
Then you just stop. What my family would do, stop, put it in reverse, roll back about 20 feet and take a nap. Then no motivation. My mom told me once, I said, why don't you get a job? She said, I'll lose my welfare.
Oh, I hear that a lot. There was a girl we were going to give a raise, and it did something to her. She worked for us, and I don't really understand it, but if I gave her more money, she'd end up making less money.
I understand it, because I've been on unemployment, and if you earn over a certain amount, then you don't get your unemployment.
I couldn't believe it. The other thing this leads to, though, is when we're talking about making the money, is this sort of sloth and lethargy that you can't help. Like, my wife, and by the way, I can speak freely because she'll be asleep for another 11 hours.
Up, glued to the radio.
No.
Yeah. And by the way,
with the super glue that you did with your teeth?
Yeah. Can I tell you something honestly right now?
Yes.
In approximately 3 years, if you have this tape about the sloth and stuff, you're going to want to start apologizing. Mm-hmm. That woman's never going to sleep again.
Good.
She's going to run at 100 miles an hour all the time.
So be it.
It's amazing.
With the kids.
Yeah. I look at my wife in schools and different lunches, and one takes a hot lunch at school for $1, but right. one says, no, I won't eat that crap, and makes a sandwich at home. Right. And sometimes, twins, they will go to
school. They'll be in boarding school in Geneva this time next year, believe
go,
you me.
Go. Do it. Do it.
I'm going to. Military boarding ice skating a space camp is what I want to send him to.
He's making a good point.
My point is,
later.
Yeah, well, she's recharging her batteries now. But the point is her and her friends. This is Jimmy's ex-wife Gina, and this is some of their other friends. Went out and decided they were going to open their own business.
It was
a spa, and it did all right. It basically broke even for a couple of years, and then they lost the lease because it was a house and some other stuff, and they just decided. And then the twins came, and it was like, all right, well, forget it. I got a full-time gig here, even though I farm it out to every Mexican in town.
Yep.
But the point is, I said to my wife when she was talking about starting a new business or maybe going in with her friend Gina and doing something else, I said, it's not going to work. And here's the reason why it's not going to work. And here's the reason why the last one didn't work. You guys weren't hungry. Right. Oh, you approached it like responsible adults, but you weren't hungry. You start a new business, you better be prepared to work 75 hours a week for the first 2 years.
Yep.
And then maybe you can cruise after that and dial it down to a 50-hour week. You guys were, every time I walked in, you guys were either out to lunch or sitting around eating lunch. I never saw you leave the house before 9 a.m. You never came home after 6 p.m. Gina was in and out. She put in a few more hours than you, but you guys weren't hungry.
No.
When you're hungry, when you start a business, when I'm not paying the mortgage, when I'm not paying the rent on your business, you're up at 4 in the morning, you're down at the flower mart buying the whatever.
You're in there, whatever.
When you have a nut to make as opposed to somebody making your nut, forget about it. It's a totally different thing. The same person could be the most motivated person or the least motivated person. That place they're renting was $5,000 a month. I paid for half.
Right,
Jimmy
sure.
paid for the other half. The girls didn't pay for it. So then where's the fire?
I'll tell you the trick about being rich and still having the fire, having the money and the leisure, but still having the fire. And I'll tell you how that's done in a minute. All right.
All right.
Oh, good.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. Mr. Brightside.
Nice.
That's what we'll be playing next. And talking about Jimmy. Danny will give you the keys to keeping the fire stoked. But yes, that is the number one thing. We have children. Teresa, you're going to have children.
One of mine, I'm guessing.
How do you keep semi-rich white people motivated? They're not hungry. We were hungry. We're motivated. They're not going to be. How do you motivate them? How do you start that fire? I'm not sure, but Danny's going to tell you. Also, Mr. Brightside, 866-901-ADAM, after this.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Adam is Mr. Brightside, and he'll put a happy spin on any problem you have.
Morning, Ace.
What's going on?
I just spent $1,300 for one semester
at a community college.
But 1,000 of that was on weed. Let's be honest. You go to a community college, you score weed.
So call 866-901-ADAM to talk to Mr. Brightside. Here he is. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. 866-901-ADAM. Mr. Brightside. But first, Danny Bonaducci was going to finish up, kind of mop up where we left off, which was we're talking about how do you stay hungry. I really do believe that the same human being, and I can say this about myself, is capable of almost nothing or incredible feats, depending on whether you win the lottery,
right,
or your plane goes down in the mountains and you have to survive.
Dude, you drop me off in the Amazon, I'll come out just fine. That's what I believe.
Right, or some rich uncle could kick off, leave $50 million off on your doorstep.
I can kill him, too.
You could just drink until you die.
Right, right.
So and the same guy can do this. I don't really blame, like, when they talk about the spoiled little rich kids, you know?
Yeah.
Look at this kid. Look at him. He's 17. He's got a Ferrari. He doesn't know what it's like to. Look, we would all do the exact same thing.
I can't help it.
I grew up, Molly Ringwald grew up the street from me, as I've said.
Where did you live?
North Hollywood.
Yeah.
She wasn't Molly Ringwald at the time. She was just Molly Ringwald. Right. But at a certain point, she was 16 and on the cover of Time magazine and Life magazine in like the same month and blah, blah, blah. And at a certain point, one of our friends came up to me and said, she's copping a little attitude. She's it's not the old Molly and blah, blah, blah. I said, if you were 16 and on the cover of Time magazine and then Life magazine the following month, I'm sure your head would be a little bit scrambled. You wouldn't be the exact same person.
Plus, I don't believe it's always true.
It's not always true.
I think some people, say Teresa took off and was like the new Julia Roberts, right?
I mean, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And she came in here and she did her job just like every day, and she'd leave the room, and somebody would say, ever since she got so big, she's just not the same.
No, that would
sometimes it's not fair.
That would absolutely happen. I'm just saying that I think just like your physique, which is to say, if you never had to work a day in your life and you lived in a house that was filled with potato chips and you smoked a ton of weed, your body would probably go to seed as opposed to if you're living in a tribe in the Amazon and you have to hunt for your food every day, you would be striated.
All Caribbean men look like professional athletes.
The same physique sitting at home doing nothing all day. You remove the fire from the Bunsen burner of life, and sometimes things go cold. Yeah. So how do you keep the fire lit?
When I tell you this, this is going to sound like it's just to me, but this is my version, then I'll tell you yours. Here's what happened to me. My wife, after being for 16 years or 15 years at the time, Danny Bonaducci's wife, and it was plenty. She used to love to say, oh, it's so cool because I'm not a celebrity. I get to do all the premieres and stuff that you get to do, but nobody hassles me. Oh, it's so great.
So she would brag about it.
Well, no, but she'd say it
to
me. Like, that I don't have to hassle you, but she lives a life, yeah.
I feel like I might go the opposite direction. Who are you married to? Bonaducci.
Who? You can be as crazy as you want if you still can get in anyway. So she then did Breaking Bonaducci.
Hold on, you're married to Don Amici?
No,
I love Don Amici. Danny Bonaducci. Oh, Christ. Sorry.
Then we did Breaking Bonaducci together, and the Today Show would call, and they'd only want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, I'd say, because I saw her getting upset, and I'd say, it's a team show, buddy. And they say, we're not paying her airfare and putting her up at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk to you. And I told her to her face, I said, honey, you didn't do a team show like The Odd Couple. You did a show about a man on fire. And you weren't the guy on fire.
Right.
They just want to see if I'm going to hurt anybody.
Right.
They don't care what the show's about.
Right.
But at the end of it, she was sick of being Danny Bonaducci's wife and started this dress company and works day and frigging night.
She has the fire. She's not financial. It's emotional.
She does her mailings. She makes the dresses herself. There's a sweatshop except with all the Guatemalans in my basement.
Granted, I'm a size 4.
She makes. Oh, they're bitching too. Go to Bonaducci.biz. You'll see them. And she's fire. Now, that's for me. For you, I think that same thing will happen. Someday, your wife will get tired of being Mrs. Carolla.
Well, there's different. One hope sooner than later. This. Got to swing, baby.
You got to swing. You got to swing.
Wife, kids are like sandbags, dragging them around, man. I'm a
sandbags of love, Adam.
They're on my gondola, though, man. I need to fly.
Think about it. We could do.
Oh, we could do some damage.
We could do anything.
I'm scared of
that. Get the GTO out of the impound yard. Put the top down.
My GTO's in my driveway. It just doesn't have plates yet.
I'd start juicing.
That'd
be awesome.
Be huge and mean.
First, we kick Mark and Brian's ass.
Right.
Then we go on a what I like to call consensual rape tour.
That How does that go?
Well, it means,
talk them into it.
It means they're drunk.
Right.
All right, where
and then
were
Bean,
we?
Bean, by the way, of Kevin and Bean, they're wonderful guys.
Right.
But he's 6'7".
Yes, I met him.
Which makes it the happiest man in the world for me, because just to watch a 6'7" man hit the dirt just
That's
kills
right.
me.
Right. The physics of it.
Uppercut right to the family jewels. All right. Mr. Brightside. That's right. That's what we're playing. 866-901-ADAM. You got problems? I'll make them melt away.
Good deal.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
All right, let's start with Mike. Mike?
How's it going, Adam?
What's the problem?
Well, I've just found out yesterday that I'm getting fired from my job. I work for the city, and I just found out that today's my last day. And I have a problem because I'm turning 21 on the 18th, and now I'm not going to... I have no money to party, and it seems like...
Well, first off, a couple things. You're not getting fired today. You're getting fired tomorrow.
Yeah,
a lot could happen. Terrorist attacks, natural disasters, acts of God. Who knows if we'll ever see tomorrow, number one. Number two, you work for the city. And as we were talking about keeping the fire stoked, those city jobs are placeholders that steal your thunder.
Steal your life.
They're the worst kind of job you can have, which is medical, dental, and a decent enough paycheck to get by, so you don't want to let go of it. Now, here's the kind of job you need in life. You either need a job where you climb the ladder and you'll make it up to the penthouse suite mm-hmm. one day, or a job like I used to work, carpet cleaning, McDonald's, construction, ditch digging, jobs that were so bad that you knew immediately, I got to get out of here. I mean, it was essentially like a prison. You're just counting the days until you got out. What you have is a gilded cage. It seems like you're in a good place. But then 40 years from now, when you've got your 2% cost of living increase, and instead of making $39K a year, you're making $47K a year, except for it's 2045, we're all driving around in the jets and cars, you'll thank me. Now, what'd you do over there at the city?
I work at the dump.
You worked at the dump?
But I mean, I'm trying to, the other thing is that I'm trying to get all the money together because I'm turning 21 in 3 days on the 18th, so I want to at least have a good paycheck, and I found out that I'm not going to get my paycheck.
Look, you got fired from a job where you bury garbage.
But it's a job. I need the money. I mean, I'm not going to be able to party. I'm going to have nothing, nobody to do anything.
You shouldn't be partying. You should be partying on a textbook. Or the Bible or something. Mm-hmm. You're not even 21 yet. You're fine. You got fired from your city job. I'm telling you, the worst thing that could happen is you get a job at the post office or the DMV, and you're there for 35 years.
Yes, it's a gilded cage, but not gilded with gold. Gilded with nickel.
It could be with gold. Gilded itself lets you know it's not gold. It's gilded. It falls off in little flakes forever.
Yes, you're
you know,
in a, the worst kind of cage is the one you don't know you're in, man.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Like this box they put us in for 4 hours a day. Cisco?
Hey, Adam. How's it going, man?
What's going on, Cisco?
Let me tell you, buddy. I haven't seen my friend for about 6 months, so I just he's like my best friend like since I was like 12 years old. I'm 25 now.
Well, now, how can he be your best friend if you haven't seen him in 6 months?
That's the whole point, because I've been working hard, and he's just disappeared. He's one of those kind of guys that just disappears every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I go look
We call him addicts, by the way, but go ahead.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went to his house to go look for him, and he was just acting really weird with me, you know. So I, like, you know, say, hey, what's going on, man? Let's hug it out, you know. I haven't seen you for a while, right?
Sure.
And, you know, next thing you know, he just goes inside looking really weird, and a car pulls out from his driveway. It turns out it's my ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
When did you guys break up?
About 6 months prior to me going to his house.
I see. All right. Now, do you think she was cheating with him?
It doesn't really matter, because she was just a good lay, you know?
Okay, so you don't care about her. Cisco. Cisco, I'm smelling junior college.
Oh, yeah.
You go to junior college?
community college, junior college, whatever.
Let's not put the happy euphemism for it. I like the shame factor involved with the junior college and the community college.
My daughter asked my wife last night, right in front of me, what balls? Right in front of me, my daughter asked me if she went to college, and she said yes. And she said, did you graduate? She said yes. And she said, how long did it take you? And she said, 6 months. What'd she go to? Like the Fry?
Yeah.
Right in front of me.
Bartending school, haircutting school.
I did that.
Well, look, the point is about junior college. I would like a second junior added to junior college. I don't like community college.
Super junior?
Well, should Cisco be upset because
no.
It was an ex?
I'll tell you the worst thing you can have and what you want. Here's what you want. You want a relationship like you got Danny got his car stolen.
Right.
You either want to find it unscathed and hop right back into it, or you want it to be totaled. What you
couldn't
don't want
right.
is
couldn't
to spend
right.
2 years putting it back together again, looking for parts and all the headaches that go along with that. When you're young and you have a relationship, you hope that something better something horrible, like a friend of yours hopping on top of her, then you pining away for her for the next year, wasting your life, thinking you two might get back together one day. Yes, Danny.
Okay, I'm glad. I was just stuck in saying that. What would make you pine away more? Because she's still gone, and now you're
yeah,
best
but now
friend
you know banger. She's no good.
I don't know that would do it for me, because you also know your friend. This happened when I was 17, Vanessa and Ray, and she was my fiance. I've been engaged 11 times.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, Ray was doing her. And I actually totally miss Ray more. Ray was my total best bud. But I've almost never been hurt in my whole life. Like, my feelings, you know, I mean, in that sense. Or things don't bug me. That hurt for 5 years. I couldn't believe
because
my
because of the betrayal of Ray,
of
not
Ray.
The girl.
Absolutely, of Ray. Broke my heart. Broke my heart.
Well, Cisco got to find out what kind of friend his
yeah.
so-called
right.
best friend was, and he got to stop pining for his old lady
win-win.
In one fell swoop. I say win-win. Let's see.
Win-win. Very nice, Mr. Brightside.
Thank you. Jennifer?
Yes?
What's going on, baby doll?
Okay, this is the problem. About 6 months ago, me and my husband, we have two kids, moved out of our apartment, went back to my parents' house to save money to buy a house,
mm-hmm.
and we both make pretty good money.
Yeah.
We have not saved any money, and it just seems like impossible because we were, I don't know, for some reason, we're just always not on track.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing with the $900 you're paying for rent? I mean,
at least.
We were
paying $1,300.
All right. What are you doing with that?
I don't know. I mean, when we get our checks, it's gone with bills. I mean, we don't have any credit cards, but we do have like our car payments.
Well, okay, this is sort of like what we're alluding to earlier, which is lowering your nut just means you make your nut. I believe most people, whatever their monthly nut is, whether it's $1,500 or $15,000, they'll find a way to make it, or they'll find a way to go down.
Well, see, that was the thing, and we think like, well, gosh, how do we pay our bills and still have extra money when we were living at the apartment? And now it just seems like we have nothing.
All right, get a drifter to kill the folks.
Yep.
You just stay in the house.
How about that, Jennifer?
There you go.
I'm not sure I haven't seen that done.
I'm sure it has happened. I was thinking about it when
sure
I was in my 20s.
I haven't seen it done.
You've seen a drifter killed?
No, I've seen, I won't mention the family because the guy's still in Woodland Hills, but they're super, super rich, this family. And both parents, well, he was like 6'5", so he must have weighed close to 600 pounds. The mom was tiny, and she weighed about 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she died at the kitchen table in front of all his friends. We were just sitting there, and she put her face first into a bowl of chili that she was having for breakfast. And, like, we pulled her face out of the chili, and somebody said, give her mouth to mouth, and everyone said no, including her own kid.
Wow.
So then she's dead. And within 3 months, dad's dead, and this person lives in a big-ass mansion.
Well, I feel like if you're eating chili for breakfast...
And you weigh 400 pounds...
You're asking God to take you. That's my sign. That's what I call my tell to God.
Right.
You see me pull up a bowl of Hormel at 6:30 in the morning? That means it's time to make your move.
But remember in the movie The Mechanic with Charles Bronson? He never actually shoots the guy. He shoots by his feet, makes him run until he has a heart attack.
No, but I know the movie, The Mechanic.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
With Jan Michael Vincent.
Yeah, that's right. Miss that guy. He's on a 9 o'clock hour. Brad?
Yeah.
Mr. Brightside, what do you need, buddy?
Hey, Adam Kroll, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good, man.
Hey, I got a question for you. I've been out for here about 9 years, bought a house. I got married. My wife is disabled. She got hurt on the job. Insurance companies are screwing us around. She's got a back problem.
What happened?
She was working as a dialysis tech, and she was transferring a patient, and she spun wrong, and the patient grabbed a hold of her and hurt her back.
Yeah.
So she's got a morphine pump in her stomach. Some daddy would like.
Yeah, she's an addict, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't put it in my stomach as long as I got a keister.
Most everybody, yes, he still has his dignity.
The morphine suppository, which we learned about yesterday.
Let me tell you something I learned from 10 years of doing Loveline. People that are youngish who have chronic back problems are addicts, especially those who were hurt doing almost nothing.
Those people, 100%, buddy.
She was at work, she slipped, she hit the ground, now she's unable to work. Addict. Then you start taking the pain pills, then your body craves the pain pills, then you feed yourself more pain pills. Next thing you know, you're on this vicious cycle. You don't even know if you have pain anymore because your body's creating the pain so that the pills can be. And next thing you know, you're getting surgery. I'll tell you the two people I haven't met. I haven't met anyone under 40 with chronic back problems that didn't play professional football or something like that.
I've been hard on myself. I have no joint problems of any kind.
I've also not met anyone on disability who needed to be on disability under the age of 40, with the rare exception of somebody who was an industrial fire.
How much do you dig those undercover investigations of the people that can't possibly work but they're playing soccer and doing karate?
Yeah.
And I would venture that if the check were taken away, she would suddenly find herself able to work if she had to scrap together a living.
Completely. Well, Brad.
Yeah.
So, you don't get a lot of sex.
No.
Leave her.
Well, I mean, she's going in for a back fusion in the next couple of months. She has no disc. L5S1's completely gone.
Right. From falling down one time?
No. It's not from falling down. It's from pinching a nerve, and then it went to degenerative disc syndrome. She's had it for like 6 years now, and it's just getting worse.
So what are you going to do?
That's what I was calling you up. I'm a glorified box builder. I'm a custom box builder up.
Build yourself a casket, buddy.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Wait, Mr. Brightside.
His and hers. I'm sorry. I can only go so far. Wait a minute. What kind of box building do you do?
I'm a custom cabinet builder.
You do a lot of dovetail joints?
Oh, I do everything, man. Dovetails.
Dados. Rabbits.
I'm never going to get everything. Tired of this.
Butt joints.
So he can make a nice casket.
Good ones.
To be honest with you, I'm never going to get tired of this. I find it really funny that Corolla knows all that stuff. It makes me laugh every time.
Well, you want to ask me a box building question, Brad?
You want to ask me about Czechoslovakia and literature?
Here's one for Danny. I just want to tell Dan thanks for helping me get laid in junior high. Did I look just like you?
Oh, I want to say that too, yeah.
Did you bone some girl and say you're me?
No, I told her I was Danny Partridge.
You did.
You don't know how many places laid. I've been thrown out of for being drunk. Chicks I had sex with. I don't look like anybody to me. Red hair. You know, I look. How is it possible? I get calls every day. Dude, you were so funny last night in Long Beach when you fell down and ate it and hit that girl and barfed.
It's like, not you.
I was nowhere near Long Beach.
But Mr. Brightside, could Brad
You're
still
use... You were in Porter Ranch when you got drunk, fell down, ate it, and hit that chick.
Could Brad still use his Danny Bonaducci-like looks to get a new woman?
No! Are you kidding? Forward?
I'm going to go with no.
This
Brad?
Is high school.
Brad, here's what you should. You're an old world craftsman with skills that the young mechanized world is envious of. So at least you have that. How about you build your nice wife a jewelry box and she can fill it with pills?
All right.
There you go. One last one. Wife left of me lives in his car. Huh. Carl?
Yo.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from? Your glove box?
Got a payphone in there? Yeah. That's the sidecar almost, I guess.
You're living in your car, but you have a cell phone?
You know, it's just getting kicked out of the house, and I can't save up enough money to get into an apartment.
You don't see bums with cell phones all the time? Walking down the street, talking on a cell phone?
I'm trying to think.
All the time.
I just thought those were like hipster directors.
No. They're real life. They don't live anywhere making phone calls.
I know their dogs all have bandanas.
Yeah, there's that.
But I never saw the cell phone thing. But Carl?
Yo.
Why'd your wife kick you out of the house?
She became an RN and started hanging out with the doctors and wanted to move on to somebody else.
And I banged her sister, and I got kicked out of the house.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, what did you do, Carl?
Well, actually, she came home late one night from work, and I was laying in bed, and she was pissed off about a payment not being made. I said I couldn't. She just bought a new Denali. I was like, I can't afford to make the Saturn payment, and she rips a clock out of the wall, swings, and hits me in the leg, so I called the cops.
Hold on. You guys living at a bank? Where did the wall-mounted clock come from?
No, you know, from the cord. You know, a cord.
I see. I see.
The cord running down the wall. It's perfect. But I do. Some cat with his tail swinging back and forth to tell you what time it is.
I do love to hear the male version of what happened. We were happy as hell, and one day she just come home and starts beating on me. Next thing you know, I'm living in a motel. I'm sure that's exactly how it went down.
Yeah. You're like, I'm missing something.
Or did she beg you to put down the bottle for the last 5 years and said, you know, if you do it one more time, I'm leaving.
How's it going?
Carl?
I wish.
Well, look, here's what I can say. Do you have a job?
Yeah.
Do you have male friends?
Yeah, I'm hanging out at a buddy's. He's got
all right,
property.
That's the point. Look, everybody, have your male friends. Danny, let me give you a little piece of advice. Your wife's your best friend. She's your partner. Have your male friends, because that male friend is a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is a sofa you can crash on. It's a SUV you can borrow to move something. It's a couple of bucks you can get to. It's backup if there's trouble. You need
can
one
you
of those guys.
Because I have a thing. I think I want them, although I used to think, and this is so crazy, that if I chose to spend time with somebody else, it was akin to cheating on her, because I'd rather be
right.
with them than her.
No, you
so
do need
I'm over
male.
That. I'm
you
over
guys
that.
Guys need to have male friends.
But I don't know how to make them.
Well, Adam will be your friend in 2 to 3 months.
No, I will.
You will?
Yes.
Yeah. You
yeah.
swear to God?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
you do a lot
atheist,
of stuff I don't.
Yeah.
You do a lot of stuff I don't understand.
Well, you're gonna watch me.
Yeah,
well,
I feel better.
Because my kid
what
is a junior banker.
What are you pointing at?
He's pointing me to shut up. There was out cue.
No, but what's the point? Keep going, Mark. Yeah.
The outro was over. I was going, Danny, go ahead with whatever he was about to say. I thought I interrupted you.
It was my fault.
What I pointed to means go ahead.
As long as I apologize. My kid, for something I did, my kid, this will be his second practice this week, is 5, mm-hmm. and in the junior Lakers, they get uniforms and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to play basketball. I've never even seen it.
Right.
I don't understand at all. And there's real dads there saying, come on, like double dribbling
right.
and traveling and stuff like that is stuff I do when I drink.
Yeah, well, all they have to
don't
understand at all.
You don't need me for 2 years because at 5 they don't know.
Yeah, they
don't
know
what they're doing. The ball's
and the girl, thank God, just went goth and doesn't want anything.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. I know we're running behind, but I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to do a phoner topic and then we'll do the news. I was talking about yesterday when we were doing our Music Monday. There was a song called I Took a Trip with My Dad,
right.
a band called Dada. Guy told me in the band that he went with his dad to the desert and they dropped acid. And I thought, oh, my God, I could barely handle my dad on a thimble of Miller Lite. I couldn't imagine dropping acid or doing mushrooms or doing coke or worse yet, speed. Weed, maybe. Couple of beers, maybe to a limit, not a 12-pack. Have you ever gotten high with your parents? You ever gotten loaded with your parents? Step-parent, sibling, family member, grandparent? And if so...
A grandparent. If you ever gotten high with your grandparents, please call us right now, 1-866-901-ADAM.
I feel like there's a lot of people have gotten loaded, drunk, with their grandparents.
Yeah,
maybe.
At least loaded. But anyway, tell us that story. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? From Comedy Central, we'll talk to the naked trucker in T-Bones. And speaking of a T I'd like to bone, we'll name Teresa's vagina. Also, a Golden Globe recap. And in studio, Apprentice winner Kelly Perdue. Oh, sweet, a hot piece of ass.
Kelly's a guy. Yeah.
Don't you think I know that? Dawson, have these tapes destroyed immediately. Okay.
Thanks, Jack. It's Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we is back, and story, well, Brian, see if you can find that song we played from Music Monday called I Took a Trip with My Dad, and guy from the band Dada, old band, good band, went out and dropped acid with his dad in the desert.
At the time, I went up to the mountains with my dad.
It's a little live song here for you.
The live version.
It was good for us. I highly recommend it.
Play this. this underneath it, but he took a trip with his dad that dropped acid. I feel like I would rather drop Drano than drop acid with my dad. Yeah. I'm always scared around a family member that they're going to have a couple of boozes and give me that we need to talk kind of thing. I think one of my greatest fears in life is sort of being cornered and having intimate conversations with people I've known for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to keep moving, and I'm a great drunk, by the way.
Yeah, you're good drunk. I'm actually a fairly good drunk up until the last couple of years.
I don't get surly. I don't get angry. You might not even know I was drunk. Maybe I get a little gabby, and I might do a few things I wouldn't normally do, but I'm a happy, easy, fun drunk who you don't really know is drunk. I don't
caller.
I don't get morose. I don't pull people aside. I don't get weird. I mean, when we drove out to San Diego, I must have had 8 beers on that bus at noon. No problema.
Right.
No, see, I call Teresa and tell her I've always loved her. And then I call you and I tell you I've always loved you.
I like that kind of drunk, though. I like when people get overly emotional and tell you how much they love you.
Well, not everyone is a good drunk. Mm-hmm. I feel like we ought to segregate this country. Just put the Mason-Dixon line right down the middle of it. Good drunks on the south side, and on the north side, the sloppy, ugly, fighting, sappy drunks. Who are just be bile and vomit and screams over there, and we'd be over here humping each other and telling each other, asking
how
if we lost weight.
You.
Yeah.
You're
all right.
Great in that.
So have you ever gotten loaded with a family member? Have you done drugs with a family member? Jeremy here has a story. Jeremy?
Yeah, I was visiting my mom out in Lancaster, a little trip with my grandma, and one night I had found a broken VCR in her closet. So I took it apart and injected a tape, and I figured, hey, I'll see what's on it. And threw in the VCR, and it ended up being a Ron Jeremy tape. And my grandma came out and made a screwdriver with me, and I was about 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking screwdrivers and watching porn.
At what point did you gouge your eyes out?
Well, front runner for definitely not a chew, by the way.
I just kind of slid the pillow over my lap, I guess.
Oedipus just called. What's his whole act back?
Did your grandmother watch the Ron Jeremy porn with you?
Yes.
Huh. You had a screwdriver and drank vodka and watched porn with your grandma.
Yep.
And was there a conversation after or during?
I don't remember as far as during, but after was probably more or less like, all right, good night, and put that away where nobody else can find it.
Maybe that's why all grandmas have the plastic on the sofa.
Wait a second. Was he doing what people do when they watch porn?
No, grandma.
I do know a guy who slept in the same bed with his dad and peeled one off.
No.
I've never done that, but I've been married a really long time. And Gretchen will come down, and I'll tell her what I'm doing. And if she's going to make that call, she'll make that call. And one time she came down when I was done, and she goes, oh, I don't even know if I can say this.
Yeah,
she
try.
Goes, you clean that up, don't you? I said, of course I
and
do.
And since I do. Delia! Get down here with the mop and glow!
As a matter of fact, I believe it's Adelia.
Adelia.
Yeah, very
oh, really?
Good, man. No, Adalia.
Very intuitive. Let's see. Smoked pot with mom. Got drunk with dad in Mexico. Got drunk with dad when he was 15. Taught grandpa's girlfriend to smoke weed.
Huh.
It's a new time we're living in.
Yeah,
Tracy?
Yeah, hi.
You taught your grandpa's girlfriend to smoke weed?
Well, it was actually his mistress.
Uh-huh.
And my grandpa gave me $500 to score some bud, and we had, my brother and I had to teach my grandpa's mistress how to smoke pot on Thanksgiving. And then we all got sat down to a nice Thanksgiving dinner, and grandpa got a contact.
With the S word, baby. Duh.
Sorry.
Okay, so you... yes.
Fancy Thanksgiving.
Oh, where'd you go to finishing school, baby? Yeah. Bong Academy?
You bounced that book on your head when you came down
the
stairs.
Yes. I smell Bryn Mawr. Yes?
You what?
All right. Tracy.
Yes.
I smell junior college, actually.
I smell Mar Vista.
I
smell
no,
skunk.
I
smell some of the chronic.
I'll keep playing.
The chronic.
Where are you going? What are you doing right now, Tracy?
I'm on my way to work.
And no junior college in your past?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Never wrong, Adam. Never wrong.
Adam Grohl, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, for those of you who are tired of me harping about junior college, as soon as my batting average gets under 975, I'll shut up. People go, how do you know when someone has gone to junior college? How do you know when someone used to attend junior college? It's uncanny. No, it's not. As soon as you figure out someone is stupid, then the next logical move is junior college. This is how I know it's a complete waste of time and taxpayers' money.
Well, maybe Tracy has a good job. What kind of job are you going to, Tracy?
I have a great job.
Somebody put your finger on the car. Granny's got to do another preload. Junior college. Junior stripper college. Jade, stage four. Stage four. Jim. All right. You scared me, Brian.
Tracy, I'm sorry. What do you do?
I work for an environmental company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Vague.
She rolls sod.
She saves beavers.
When? I want to go to the Playboy Mansion.
Hmm. Yeah, because that's just who I went there.
You sound hot.
Does she?
Well, you're dumb, and you went to junior college. Yeah, you smoked weed with your grandpa's concubine, so I like that.
Yeah, if you're hot, stupid, and have low self-esteem, you're in.
Hold That's on. Right. If you had one final question to find out if Tracy was hot, what would it be?
I would say our favorite TV show.
The Girls Next Door.
How old are you?
37.
37, and...
not that I would do it, but I would have asked immediately, will you do it with me in the middle of the yard with everybody watching? Because that way, for sure, in private, in the grotto, she would.
That's a good point, yeah. Tracy.
I don't play around.
Maybe with you and Adam.
All right. Now
we're
talking.
They are going on a consensual rape tour later this year.
I've heard rumors about wearing a rather large leash and a chain, which I don't think is that friggin' funny.
Did meth with grandpa or grandma.
Just kill her and be done with it.
Yeah. All right, Tracy, you didn't make the cut. Dave?
All right, so she did or she didn't?
She did. Oh? We don't have enough tickets. Dave?
It's James.
Oh, James. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Well, says Dave on the screen. But anyway, did you do meth with your grandma?
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom and my grandma, actually.
Oh. Nice, man.
Now, were you guys smoking it, or did you do a rail, or what'd you do?
Rails.
And nice. That didn't... How old were you?
15.
Adam's
they were hungry because they were fasting on Yom Kippur.
So you're 15. You're 15. Your mom's 29, and your grandma is 41. Right?
My mom was like 30. My grandma was like close to 50. Had already a stroke.
And how long ago was this?
I don't mean to be a spaz, buddy, but I'm almost 50, and I ain't your granddaddy.
Wow. Not with that shirt.
I'm 28 now, so it was 13 years ago.
And. I feel like I would have just staggered right into the closest therapist's office and chained myself to the sofa. Like an activist does with a bulldozer.
Yes.
I was going to say, I know some really good therapists, but it's obvious just to speak to me that I don't. I just know therapists.
Well, you know them. Like, yeah. I've seen a lot of good books from across the aisle. James?
Yeah.
All right, what do you do now?
I'm a journeyman electrician now.
Mm-hmm. So do you have you know the difference between a LB and a four-gang box?
Yeah.
Is he high?
I hope so.
All right. And do you have children?
No.
Okay, please. Let's keep that streak alive. Yeah. And is your grandmother still alive?
I don't know. I haven't talked to them in like 11 years. I don't associate with those people anymore.
I would go ahead and consider them abusive.
Yeah, you think so?
Doing meth with grandma and mom seems like opaque white trash. Like that is as ugly as this country gets. Meth is I'm going Mustang. Those are the only two colors we used to paint. We used to paint offices. But the point is... Meth is the ugliest sort of white trashiest drug in the world. Dude. You doing meth with just your peers is ugly and crappy enough. With mom, that's pretty weird. Grandma, three generations, that's bizarre.
Can I tell you this? At my meetings, when I go to meetings, I don't really go out that often. I go to church now, a lot of church groups and stuff. That was more helpful to me. But like my best buddy, Jason, couldn't get a van, so he'd have to shoot right into his jugular. And just the grossest stories you could ever imagine. Ever met girls selling themselves just to get one more hit of crack, and they were the class. compared to the guys that used meth. Yeah. I've never seen a drug deteriorate people so fast.
I don't dissuade people from doing too many drugs, but or try to talk you out of it. But meth.
Meth. Your teeth fall out. You
strenuously.
Stink.
Yes. Charlie?
Yeah.
You gave your 13-year-old sister acid?
I did.
As a gag?
What? No, we were at Lollapalooza together. It was our first concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some acid from some guy in a porta potty. And
so you know it's good.
That's all good.
You say don't take the brown acid.
I was only 16, so I didn't know what the hell I was doing either.
Evidently. How old is your sister now?
She's 27.
She's dead.
Does she have a problem with that?
No, actually, she's studying to be a doctor. She's in medical school.
Mm. All right, so it all worked down.
Yeah, we both did well. I'm a teacher now.
All right. So, oh, my God. Hold on. I love the fact that you're shaping the life of youths. But yeah. Frank over here said he put acid in Grandma's coffee. Frank?
Hey, Adam. Love the show. Glad to hear Danny on the air. It's great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that a lot.
You put acid in your grandma's coffee?
I did. We grew up in a large family with no dad, and she was very militant and very mean, very, mm-hmm. very, very mean. So we decided maybe me and my older sister, this is back in 76, 77, I was 14, 15 years old, mm-hmm. maybe we'd cut off a little corner of paper acid there, a little red dragon
right.
for coffee, and then go to school. Mm. I couldn't handle being around her when she was frying at home, but we came home, and that house was clean.
Really? And did she mention anything about it or anything?
She didn't. She said she felt a little different. We inquired a little bit, kind of snickered around the whole deal, but she really didn't say much. She was just her pretty much normal self, but the house was really clean.
I that whole, like, I'm going to drug someone, I'm not trying to hump, seems like no bang for your buck.
Okay. I'm not saying this actually happened.
But.
Okay?
But.
This may have never happened, and if it did happen, I would not be the guy that did it, maybe.
Okay.
Okay? But, you know, the Christian wife, I left that message yesterday. She doesn't mm-hmm. get around.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might have dropped a hit of ecstasy in her drink in Amsterdam.
Really?
Somebody might have put it in Gretchen's drink.
Maybe.
What year are we talking about?
5 years ago. Mm. First of all, it's my radio station's fault. I'm trying to get sober. And you know what they said? Can you meet Keith Richards at the airport?
Oh, no.
So do you blame them with me?
That's my wife's code for when I want oral, by the
Can
way.
You,
for eating.
Go down to Heathrow?
Honey, Keith Richards needs to be picked up at the airport. That means we both politely excuse ourselves from the dinner table.
Sweet.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We're running woefully behind. We have tons of calls. Weed, grandpa and grandma. So this will be one of our evergreens. We'll pop this into your head about every couple weeks. I feel like there's more.
A file or something where you go, this one's really good, and you put it away, or do you just remember it?
No and no. But I think we'll start doing ones because I like the idea of rotating these. If we get good response on something, I guess it's like a special and we're a restaurant. It doesn't make it to the menu, but on the other hand, if the goulash went gangbusters, that's alliteration.
It's a nice one, too, because who picks goulash in the first place?
Every couple of weeks, we'll throw it out on the special list. So get out the dry erase board, T. And
I was going to say, I got a computer.
What's coming up with the news?
We're going to talk a little Golden Globes. And yesterday, we played Paula Abdul sounding intoxicated.
She looked worse than she sounded when I saw it last night.
If you didn't see the Tonight Show, you are going to enjoy her excuse for what went down. All that and more.
Naked Trucker and T-Bones also coming up in a couple of few. We'll be right back to the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
A North Carolina S&M dungeon was shut down when police got word of illegal scrotal surgeries.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Well, T, take it away, baby doll.
The Golden Globe Awards were held last night, and Babel, which earned a leading 7 Golden Globe nominations, only won one last night, but it was the big one, Best Drama. We're going to talk more about the Golden Globes later on in the show, but for now, I want to play you the acceptance speech, or part of it, of Sacha Baron Cohen, who won for Best Actor in Borat. It's unusual. I know Danny hated it. It's unusual to hear him not as Borat, but as Sacha Baron Cohen. Here he is accepting his Golden Globe.
I want to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press. And I just want to say this movie was a life-changing experience. I saw some amazing, beautiful, invigorating parts of America, but I saw some dark parts of America, an ugly side of America, a side of America that rarely sees the light of day. I refer, of course, to the anus and testicles of my co-star, Ken Division.
He was on the show, a big man, and philosophical about being naked and on top of Sacha Baron Cohen.
He almost makes me not want to hate him. But there was some stuff in that movie that just said, how could you do that to those innocent people?
Well, he did at the end of his speech thank those Americans who are not suing him. Because that was probably easier.
26 of us.
Well, yeah, I've been sued by everybody. It doesn't mean I'm mad at them because sometimes I deserved it. But, you know, that was just cruelty for cruelty's sake, I thought.
Well, it's cruelty for comedy's sake.
There you go.
Well, that you got to go, okay.
Cruelty for cruelty's sake, you don't film it.
Well, see, I say to my wife, you cannot blaspheme at a comedy club. I'll do Jesus jokes all day, and I'm a Christian and all day long, if that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But because it says comedy at the door, bite me. I'll say whatever I want. But I thought that little Jewish couple that he went to stay with in their bed and breakfast, I thought that was just over the top cruel.
Well, you've offended Bonaducci's very delicate sensibilities. If you're listening, Sasha,
I'm weeping, Sasha.
Hang your head.
Well, Danny won't make the Jesus jokes, but will Paula Abdul drink the Jesus juice? Mm. Some say that is exactly what she was doing when she did a press tour a few days back to promote American Idol, which starts season 6, begins tonight. Now, here, just if in case you didn't hear it, here is just a little snippet of one of her many interviews she did during a press tour. This is her doing an interview with a news station in San Francisco, and she's talking about Simon Cowell.
Who is the biggest pain in the neck?
Simon Cowell.
The singer.
Doesn't matter, Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell is...
Pain in the neck? Simon Cowell, doesn't matter. You can say dancer, Simon Cowell.
I think just about every interview, but I don't audibly make that noise. You know, I think, Christ is what comes after. Christ. Been in the news game for 26 years. I was in Cambodia, Nicaragua. I've been to every hot zone there is, and now I'm talking to this drugged up bitch.
He was not
That's
happy.
That's what that was.
I love that reporter from yesterday that didn't care because a local New York guy went, you know, that's a big deal to get a drunk Paula Abdul. And he just said, essentially, how dare you? I'm a real-life
journalist.
Well,
at one point, he actually did ask her why she was wiggling around so much, which was unusual. And I think, actually, we have that. Do we, Brian? Maybe not. But more importantly, we have her on The Tonight Show last night. She was trying to explain why she came across as intoxicated.
Well, there was a mistake. I guess it was Alabama was in my ear, and so was Seattle at the same time. So I'm answering questions to the wrong answers of the city. So... So they're going, what in the heck? What is she saying? It's not my fault. I was having fun.
Yeah.
I answered the right question in one of the cities.
Now, I imagine both of you have done satellite tours, and you know that there is no possible way that her explanation makes sense.
Actually, that's not true.
Is there?
Sure. You can have more than one city in your ear, absolutely.
Yeah, but you don't answer. You don't answer that way.
The other thing you do is you turn off the monitor to say, don't look at yourself. There's a couple of tricks doing the satellite tours.
Right.
But why would it matter why she slurred in Alabama and she slurred in Tennessee? Has nothing to do with, I was answering the right question in Alabama, but it sounded like this. Has it been Alabama?
Right.
That makes no sense.
A non sequitur problem didn't exist. A slurring problem existed.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, well, look, a couple of things. First off, a lot of people deny they're drunk when they're drunk. I would claim I was drunker in maintaining because then this is how you are. You know, a lot of people, I wasn't drinking. I was good. You're slurring your words.
Right.
You look disheveled. You're out of control. If this is the way you are, you should kill yourself.
Right.
You should pray you were drunk. You should be screaming to everyone you were drunk. I'm sure I'd go more like pain pills than drunk with her.
Danny predicted.
It's getting to be old.
But
though,
either way, the good news is
She'll die soon?
She can't possibly F up her job. If she was a commercial airline pilot, we should all worry because she's going to fly her plane into Danny's garage, which, although would be entertaining and give good content for the show, probably tragic overall. All she does is sit there and watch hack karaoke. It's karaoke night, and she goes, I wasn't feeling it. Or I love you. And that's about it. I could do her job. You could take a syringe the size of a...
bring it to work tomorrow.
Please bring it in.
You're going to bring an 18-gauge in.
The size of a Zodiac raft and inject me with as much elephant tranquilizer is on the planet of the continent of Africa, and I could do that job.
I think you're being cavalier. Right. You could accidentally tell somebody they have star quality when they don't.
Well, you're right. Very dangerous. Let me tell you a quick anecdote about doing those godforsaken satellite tours, because they start at 4 a.m. Yes. Because you have to go from west to east, and you start at 4 a.m. and you go to 9 a.m. and it's 5 hours of you answering the same stupid questions from the same idiotic
people.
Quick
tip, though, they don't know that, and it's not because I got in a lot of trouble for that. They don't know what's it like to do this in every single city. It's a different. It's the first time they're hearing your answer.
So you got
to be polite.
No, I am. I was. It's just 5 hours. And I was sitting there with Dr. Drew, and we got one of these sort of sunshiny morning shows that came out of Flagstaff or Tucson or Mesa, Arizona. It's that giggly, bubble-headed blonde, you know. And they're Good Morning Flagstaff. And they said, now, what's your relationship there with Dr. Drew? And I said, well, here's something about the only thing I'll repeat. Except for the part where me repeating that I won't repeat stuff, is I used to say, here's how the dynamic works with me and Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is the information we want to get across to the kids. He's a pill, like when your dog gets sick and gets ringworm or something like that, you want him to take an antibiotic. The dog doesn't take the pill. You put the pill in the dog's mouth, it spits it out on the floor.
Right.
You take that pill, you mash it into a little Gainsburger, and the dog gobbles it down. Drew is the pill, and I'm the Gainsburger.
Right.
So, nice. I was giving the analogy, and I said, look, it's like when you got your dog, and you want your dog, and she got really nervous and was like, no, it's okay, we don't need to hear about what you're doing to your dog. And Drew, chimed in, and Drew was like, no, it's fine. It's suitable for, you know, morning television. And she was like, no. I said, so you want your dog to eat something, so you take this pill. And she's like, oh, no, and she was getting all freaked out because we're on MTV, and I'm the dirty guy.
Right.
And Drew was like saying, no, it's okay, it's clean. And at a certain point, I went, you know what? Just screw it. And we just sat there for about 30 seconds of silence. And I thought, listen, bitch, if you're not going to let me finish my sentence, then screw you. And we just sat there. And Drew went, oh, no. And I said, Drew, just let it go.
It's Good Morning Flagstaff.
We'll just sit here.
I do about three of those. We not tours, but I do like MSNBC and CNN and stuff. And they always ask the same inane questions. And they're always, and I've done them hundreds of times, and they're always afraid.
Well, you know who else has probably been asked the same question a lot of times? Rick Schroeder. Remember when he was Ricky?
Sure.
Yeah. Did you really ride that train?
And then he became Rick, and then he had to be asked, why did you become Rick, and are people going to take you seriously? You're listening to Silver Spoons, which is why we know Ricky Schroeder, that, and of course, the champ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that he's joining the cast of 24, he's secure enough in himself, he's going back to Ricky.
Good for him.
And Danny, said, I'm going to be Dan Bonaducci.
You know, earlier today, I don't know if anybody knows but me, Adam referred to me as Dan.
I did notice that.
No one's ever called me Dan. Well, the only reason I don't do it is because nobody ever calls me
Dan. Well, Dan,
sounds like an insurance salesman. Dan.
I like Dan. Well, Dan.
I don't want to grow up.
Let me close with this. We want to congratulate Kevin Moore.
By the way, I'll just call him Schroeder.
Schroeder.
I'm going to go with Dick.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Dickie?
Just Dick.
Okay. We want to congratulate Kevin Moore of Manhattan Beach.
And this, by the way, any guy that switches his name, any guy who goes from Rick to Ricky, or who goes from Dave to Dave and then back to Dave again.
Right.
Or
Deborah Gibson.
Or the worst, the Chris that insists on being called Christopher later on.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the very simple Dick.
Joey Lawrence.
Anybody who changes their name.
Joey Lawrence, back to Joseph.
Dick Lawrence.
Deborah Gibson.
That's right.
Okay, again, Kevin Moore of Manhattan. Just let me get through this. I swear it'll be painless. Of Manhattan Beach, you will be Adam's apprentice on Thursday for the Apprentice LA Playboy Mansion party, and you will get to bring four friends to the Playboy Mansion with you. Do not forget.
Who? Yes.
Do not forget to watch The Apprentice LA Sunday nights at 9 on NBC and listen to Friday morning's show as we will be broadcasting from The Apprentice LA party.
Now that name one more time. Yeah.
Kevin Moore.
Kevin Moore. Or as I call him, Dick. Dick Moore.
Dick Moore, congratulations. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
All right. Hey, the Naked Trucker in T-Bone.
Should be coming up in just a little while.
Well, just a little while means about 5 minutes because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will welcome the comedic duo of the Naked Trucker and T-Bones. After this on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. We're having a party at the Playboy Mansion Thursday night. Guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump.
I don't see us hugging and kissing.
Along with the Donald's first apprentice, Bill Rancic, Ivanka Trump, and Donald Trump Jr., Omarosa. Hugh Hefner will be there with his girlfriends.
I really wasn't sure it was a good idea. But then I figured, what the...
And David Alan Greer.
Seems to be a very big story. We also have to honor commitments.
Brought to you by The Apprentice Los Angeles. New city with new twists. Sunday nights at 9 on NBC, Miller Lite, and Maker's Mark. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, finally, David Alan, David Koechner, the Naked Trucker and T-Bones. Yes, coming on Comedy Central. Is that tomorrow night?
It is tomorrow night, 10:30.
Don't even have to look up to recognize that name. That is David Koechner. David, probably best known from Anchorman and Thank You for Smoking most recently, yes?
Yes, I'd agree to that statement.
I'd say most recently known for admiring the shirt that you made fun of.
Oh, really?
He came to me and goes, God, great shirt. What kind of shirt is that? And then you mocked me.
But that was
the
code.
I dazzled those front pockets myself.
That was the code we worked out when you don't like somebody.
Well, now it's no longer code.
Sorry.
Now it's public knowledge.
Yeah. David Alan, we've never met, have
How's
we?
How's it going? We have not, Adam. How's it going?
I've never...
You can call me Gruber. There's too many Davids around. David right, the we'll PA, David Koechner.
We'll call you Gruber. Yeah. The Naked Trucker and T-Bone Show, how did that come about? And tell us a little about it.
Who's going to start?
Well, you get to start.
The
Go
trucker
ahead.
Began. The trucker began. Wow. I
in a simpler
it.
Time, back yes. in the 80s.
This is fantastic.
You opened for Tenacious D at one point, yes?
Nice. For Eels.
A couple times, in fact. One of those bootleg MP3s that floats around is from a Wiltern show that we did. And you can hear that if you get your bootlegged MP3s. And also at this crazy show at the House of Blues that was for mitochondrial research. That's a word you don't hear every day, right? Mitochondrial research.
Yes. And not it was from a guy who goes by Grubber.
Yeah. Not by a guy that looks exactly like the guy on the cover of the Zigzag box.
Yeah, where's your bandana?
Yeah.
Smoking up.
So
it was
how
the
did
you Gerber baby model too?
That's
by
right,
the way.
Gerber, Gruber,
really?
And Gomer.
How
yep.
did this all? How did this whole thing begin? Because I know you performed at where?
You
Luna?
Know what, Adam? It was an accident
Largo?
Waiting to happen because there was two separate roads being traveled. Naked Trucker started on a failed pilot, mm-hmm. right, for Comedy Channel back in the day. T-Bones, meanwhile, finding his place
started
in Chicago.
As
right?
a failed career.
Hey. Uh-oh. But you know what I'm saying? So I had done Naked Trucker for a long time in various formats and various incarnations. And then we went to Largo, right, here in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and started doing it there. T-Bones came up once as kind of one of those fake interruptions, like, hey, it's the fake interruption
right.
part of the show.
I
right.
used to come on stage and go, hey, man, you're supposed to leave tickets at the door for me. What's going on? Oh, am I on stage? Let's sing a song.
Wow. So I see that at Cirque du Soleil all the time.
Yes, it's very... People
a lot
do,
of people sitting in.
A lot of people
in the
set
the
shows exactly like Cirque du Soleil.
No. Yeah.
So what,
very
you know,
physical.
What
like,
can,
oh.
What can we expect to see tomorrow? I wish my wife would see oh. Every,
well,
every
that's up to you,
moon.
Isn't it, Adam?
Well, at first I blame. Okay, you know what? Let's just keep moving.
She's not a big fan of theater?
Not,
can
we move forward? Not theater of the mind.
No, I couldn't make one last night. She's mad at me.
Of course she is. She lives with you.
Wednesdays.
That's theater of the mind, folks.
10:30.
It's Baroque theater, to be sure. But
what you're going to see is yes. America through a crazy prism. I'm going to start with that metaphor. Yeah, exactly right. Dan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start calling you Dan.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to come and see it perfectly clear because I see life through the prism every day.
Well, there you go.
What Dan is, the douche.
Yeah, so what is Naked Trucker and T-Bones? I mean, formatically. Is it a sketch show?
No.
Is it a musical?
Nope. No.
Is it a sitcom? Is it a documentary show?
It's a surreality show.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're going, this is America like I've never seen it.
So tomorrow
Not
night.
Not divisive and exclusionary. It's inclusionary.
So tomorrow when we tune in
yes,
at 10:30 on Comedy Central,
and
I will. What do we see?
Set the TiVo for 10:29 because it's one of those things where you kind of miss it. You know,
right.
You go, hey, what happened to the first minute of my show?
You guys will be doing songs?
Yeah, here's what it is. It's called the Torrid Twisted Travel Tales of the Naked Trucker and T-Bones. For some reason, these guys have a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems like it's a variety show, but it's not really a traditional variety show. I like to say it's a deconstruction of the variety show. And if people hear you use words like deconstruction, they go, F you.
Yeah, I say pardon or dust.
You think
deconstruction
you're
zone.
Do you think you're Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Calm down. So it is everything you've described it as and none of those things in particular. It's
everything to everybody. Is that good?
Yeah.
I think it would cover
Here's what
most
it is.
Our audience.
So you've got a comedy team, right? You've got a mm-hmm. straight man and a comic, but it's very non-traditional because the straight man is a naked guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the rat-a-tat-tat-tat back and forth of the normal comedy team.
Smother Brother.
Right?
It's
Hannity and Combs.
Sure. Right. They crack me up.
Nice. Yeah. They're great, right? That one guy grills me.
So, Grubber, you're Thank naked.
You. Pretty close, yeah.
And through the
Photoshop, you know, through some computerized Photoshop, CGI, it really appears that way.
Completely naked, except for the guitar that he wears.
Yeah, except the guitar.
Which covers the genitalia. I've seen the... I feel like I could get by with the ukulele, but that's
just beat me.
That's me.
A mandolin?
Yeah.
There you go, Danny. I'll give you other instruments.
It's Dan. He changed
Dan.
He changed Dan.
And I'm going to say Ter.
David,
is that cool?
That's fine.
David Koechner, I'll just call you Koechner for now. Movies coming up, and then you had twins recently, didn't you?
Did I or did we?
Me and you. That's right.
You and Adam had twins?
Well, it's so odd. I came here last, I forget, May maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And we started our love affair then.
Mm-hmm.
We were both approaching the twin mark.
That's right.
Now, mine came the 2nd of June, and yours came...
Somewhere between the 1st and the 15th.
I don't have my assistant.
I don't have my day planner.
I got one on Valentine's Day.
This year?
Good there.
This last year? Valentine's Day?
No, he's 5 now.
Oh.
That would be...
Same deal.
Count Dante, Jean-Michel, Valentino, Bonaducci.
Very nice. Wow.
Congratulations on your twins. Did you have a boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl, yes. And so did you.
Yes, and you were on the 2nd. We were on the 7th.
Nice.
Good, thank you.
That's right.
And my wife and your wife went to a twins class for a while together.
Really?
Yes.
A twins class.
What happens there?
Well, they got the mommy and me classes in which basically they just poison the brains of rich white people.
Because
my wife comes home and goes, you know that chlorine in the pool? Well, it turns into a vapor form and can be brought into the house via the dog. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Nice.
Who have you been talking to?
But at the same time, they say you can feed both twins with the same spoon.
Right? Oh, they do?
They say put the bowl of oatmeal or mush or whatever it is in there. And
porridge.
I have two bowls and two spoons, porridge, and just go boom, 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 boom. Let's all share the same cold.
Your twins aren't conjoined, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What are their names?
Sergeant and Audrey.
Oh, adorable.
Sergeant is
adorable.
A solid name.
That's
I wanted
great.
To name my kids Doctor and Judge. But Gretchen wouldn't do it, so she went with Count and Countess.
But Sergeant.
That's Get on your knees. Come back.
Sarge.
Right?
Yeah.
Audrey is a really cute name.
Very cute.
Now, the kids are okay because I got to take the son in to the cranial specialist to see if he needs one of those helmets so he doesn't come out looking like us.
Right, right. You've got to make sure you've got to keep rotating them when they sleep, right? So their heads don't get
their skull. Evidently, you are just a big hunk of clay until you're about 3 years old, and we can do anything good or bad. Yep. I point out to you, we can fix your teeth or we can fix your skull. And there's a helmet that they want my kid to wear. My son, they want him to wear this helmet. Oh, it's only 23 hours out of the day, which is comical.
And he will not pull on it.
Can you get Oakland Raiders on the side of it or something?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a Raiders fan.
He doesn't want the helmet because he feels it will reflect poorly on him if his little boy has the helmet.
No, you know what? No one will ever know.
No one will know?
It's no one's business. This kid's not turning out like a Picasso.
The reason I worry, and you tell me, David Koechner, if this is happening to you, I feel like we grew up, I was sort of raised like somewhere between a raccoon and a human being. Like, look, if you're hungry, you'll eat, hang out. So your bottom teeth are crooked. What, you can't chew? You know,
right.
That kind of thing where you didn't find out the kid needed glasses until he's 28. Stuff like that. There's nothing put aside for college. Everyone landed on their feet. They want their own way.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents really just fed us, and then that was about it. We're just on our own, doing our own thing. No one wore a helmet when they rode a skateboard or a bicycle.
No. Right.
There was no airbags. There's no child seats.
There was water in the bowl.
Yes.
Right? Just as long as there's water in the bowl,
water
you're good.
In the bowl and kibble next to it. Yes. I spent my childhood... You know, we didn't go to Disneyland or Magic Mountain or anything because they require money to enter the park.
Not because they were unsafe.
But my dad did have an old 67 VW with a rag top that we could peel back and I could stand up on the seat and hang my head out like Leonardo DiCaprio as we rolled down with bad brakes down Coldwater Canyon. That was an E-ticket.
King of the Valley.
It was shocking enough that you're standing up in the VW with the bad brakes.
I got the 67 GOAT, man. I got the GTO. That barely runs. There's no seatbelts in the back seat.
We all landed on our feet.
Hold on.
I feel like we're going to raise our kids. They're going to wear a helmet for everything. They're going to be strapped. My kid thinks he's in space camp. He's an astronaut. He goes into that chair. He gets strapped into a pod. He's got a five-way harness. He puts a helmet on. I mean, what are we going to do? Wrap everyone in bubble tape?
But that's why everybody's going with bungee jumping and so new stuff that wasn't happening when we were kids, because it's like, you know what? My life is too safe. Now I have to make it dangerous again, and my parents won't let me. So I'm going to bungee jump off a crane in Vegas or something.
Philosophically, it is a weird thing, which is we no longer have to go out and burn calories by hunting for our food, but we'll have a treadmill. We'll run in place. Right. We don't have to, again, worry about where our next meal is coming from, but we'll binge and then purge. We'll vomit, and we have no more thrills in life because everything has a roll bar, a safety cage, and an airbag, but we'll jump off a bridge with a rubber band tied to us. Like, as human beings, I feel like we do need to satisfy some requirements, and we're mandating all of them away. So I'd rather have my kid have a crooked skull, crooked teeth, and no airbag. That's what I say.
You know what he's going to have? He's going to have personality.
Yeah. Mm. If he's not.
That's right. So your kids are okay.
My kids are great. Charlie and Margo are great. They're all great. And you know what? I think when they're very young like that, we do tend to overmanage. Mm-hmm. And we listen to everything. And we write down when they drank, when they ate, when they peed, when they pooed, and all that stuff. And you don't need to do all that.
I didn't do any of that.
You don't need to. And unless they're... there's something else going on, then you do have to pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's sick, of course.
Did you go to any of the Mommy and Me classes? Because the best joke my wife has laid on me all year is, hey, you want to go to the Mommy and Me class? And I'm like, I didn't want the kids in the first place. Are you kidding? Mommy and who?
I have not. You know what? I've not even been invited.
Oh, really?
Good for you.
I've been invited.
God bless your wife.
I think she knew. She already knew the answer.
I wasn't invited to the birth. But I just showed up anyway, wasted.
You crashed it.
By the way, they say it's beautiful. Were you down at the busy end? Anybody down at the busy end of a birth?
No.
David Koechner, were you?
It looks like Mick Jagger vomiting.
I knew it. David was there.
Where were you?
You don't even want to know.
I do.
Ours, you don't, because it was a very harrowing experience, but I'm not going to get into it because this is a comedy show, and it was a very traumatic birth, the first
one. Really?
Yeah.
And everyone's okay now,
everyone's
though, right?
Great.
Okay,
everyone's great. Good. Charlie, Margo, Sergeant Audrey, Lee, everyone's great.
I feel like, and tell me if this happened to you guys.
Tonight on the David Koechner Show, he's got problems in the operating room.
Who has had this happen to them? I had that thing where the nurse or whoever, the doctor, said, do you want to cut the cord? And I said, well, not if there's someone who's qualified who can cut the cord. I will if it's an emergency, but as long as somebody's been sterilized.
Did you have it at Home Depot? Where was this? Where did you get this done?
They're like, you want to cut the... By the way, I don't need any of this symbolic bonding part of life. Here's how I'm going to bond with my kid. I'll be a good goddamn dad. Yes. How about that?
Yes.
As opposed to the guy who cuts the cord and then never sees the kid again.
Remember Eric Estrada used to wear a little piece of his kid's umbilical cord around his neck?
Wow.
Crystal.
Really?
Shut up, Eric.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow. Larry Wilcox and probably never stopped making fun. But here's my point. They said, you want to cut that cord? And I said, no, I don't want to cut the cord. I'm going to be standing as far away from where the kids are coming out as possible, and I'll be dabbing my wife's forehead and whispering sweet nothings into her ear and telling her I won't be attending the Mommy and Me program. And they're like, no, you should cut the cord. And they really put pressure on you. So then they take the kid out. They cut the cord. Then they put the kid over 3 feet over here in the Lucite crib. And then they hand me the scissors and say, do you want to cut the cord? Well, that to me isn't cutting the cord.
No, it's not.
That is sort of cutting it after it's already been cut. And I cut 3/8 of an inch off the end of it. And by the way, almost dropped the scissors into the kid's eye when they clumsily handed it to me when I wasn't prepared.
Exactly. Now whose fault is it, right?
But do we need that?
Well, you're like a mayor at a ribbon cutting ceremony or something.
Right. Yes.
At the hardware store.
I have to be the worst on this. I was, when you talk about a bad parent trying to, and a whore parent raising whore children, I was on television my first time at 2. Isabella did a commercial at 6 months, and Dante was born on a baby story on TLC.
So everybody's documented.
Wow.
I am the biggest whore in TV. That's all there is to it.
That's a real showbiz family.
Yeah. Did you cut the cord?
But I was wasted.
Did you cut the cord?
Wait, when the little baby, the boy was born, you were wasted?
Wasted, because it was Cedar Sinai. He was born out here, and the Hard Rock's downstairs. And they said, you've got you got all the time in the world. Just don't you worry about a thing. I get down there, I throw down, because I drink in a hurry, because I hate the taste of alcohol. So just boom, 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 and wait to get buzzed.
Hold on, imagine if Danny loved the taste of alcohol.
Well, I was just thinking, what a waste, because he could have shot that for both the baby story and intervention.
No, well, it's awesome, because you can tell I'm wasted. They go, do you want to hold the baby? And I went, yeah! And they went, nah,
right. You're not the boss of me, Mr. Surgical Scrub Guy. All right, we need to take a break. Naked Trucker and T-Bones is what we're talking about. Tonight, 10:30. Comedy tomorrow night.
Wednesday night, the 17th.
Yep.
Tomorrow night premieres. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the lads right after this.
It was many, many years ago. His life was really sad. On the road, being chased by police. Almost half his bones are broken and he didn't really care. With the crap he's done, I'm amazed he's not deceased. Because those years he was so very high. Took every drug he could afford to buy. Then beat up a chick who turned out. Bonaducci high. High on tranquilizers. Bonaducci high. High on marijuana.
Nice. Bonaducci high.
I didn't really understand it.
Didn't make sense to me.
Cool jam.
Didn't register.
Nice jams. That was awesome. Thank you.
David Koechner's here. Grubber's here as well.
It is Gruber.
Gruber.
I kind of like
sorry.
Gruber, though. I like Gruber.
And it started as Groover, did it not?
It started as Groover with a V in high school, and then it became Gruber because of my inability to pronounce the V at the time. I was saying, hey, Groover.
How important is this guy to you?
Well, how important is that story? It's it's the most non-interesting nickname story ever.
Wednesday nights, though, here's what you need to know. 10:30 tomorrow night on Comedy Central, big premiere.
I swear to God. I think we've done a fine job interviewing these gentlemen, and they've been very funny and entertaining. But I have no idea what you do for a living.
Here's what I'm going to say. Do you love America, Adam? Do you love this country?
Sure.
Yeah. It's all there. 21 minutes and 30 seconds and a bunch of commercials. It's all there. Thank you. See?
So you're either watching.
My country tis of thee. The Adam Carolla.
Is that what they say?
Right. The Adam Carolla.
By the way, you know David Koechner. You know him from Anchorman and Thank You for Smoking, which was one of my favorite movies of last year.
That was a good one. Yeah.
And if you saw Thank You for Smoking, describe who you played.
I played Bobby J. Bliss, the gun lobbyist friend of Nick Naylor's, and we'd hang out at the restaurants, and we called ourselves the Mod Squad, the Merchants of Death, because we lobbied for alcohol, guns, and tobacco.
That should be yours out on DVD shortly, or just came out?
I think it's out now, yes.
One of the best movies, I thought, of the
Thank
year.
You.
Yes, also...
Smart Woman.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was a great movie, and so well directed by...
Jason Reitman, right.
Yeah, that's
Jason.
Right.
Oh, is that right?
David also grew up in Missouri.
Tipton, Missouri.
Small town.
And was telling us during the commercial break about going on a field trip when you were how old?
Sixth grade.
And again, this is just continuing our conversation of wrapping our kids in bubble wrap and exposing them to anything that's not cultural.
Right. So Tipton, Missouri, I'm at a small Catholic school. Not because it's elitist, because whatever, in this small town, there happened to be a small Catholic school and the public school. I went to the Catholic school because my parents are Catholic. Anyway, obviously you don't have the money for a nice, expensive field trip to the city, mm-hmm. so we go to Yount's packing plant. And I remember not being prepped, like, okay, kids, when you get in here, this is what you're going to see. We all just went, all 21 of us. We take a bus there.
12 years old.
Mm-hmm. We all go there. Everyone drives by Yount's packing plant. We all know what goes on in there. Half the kids that are in the class are sons and daughters of farmers. My father was a turkey coop manufacturer. We'll get into that next break.
Same here.
Same thing.
I love it.
Same Danny. Yeah, so, Danny's 9T. Yeah.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. Same thing. I'll
same
deal.
Brochures. All in the turkey coop manufacturing
right.
industry.
Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we go. Yount's packing plant. We all go in there. They bring a cow into the chute. They put the clamps on, pop him in the head, he drops down.
With the hammer, like pneumatic hammer?
With a 22.
Yeah.
Oh, they actually pull a pistol out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was some sort of pneumatic hammer or something like that.
As I understand it, that's the old days. There was a guy, a swinger.
This is probably 1973.
And he hit him with a 22 slug.
Pop right down.
Right.
Then they put him up on the chains and by the hose, like you were talking earlier, your dog splayed out.
Right.
except we're going to kill this animal. They bring him right up. They cut him, cut the jugular right open. The blood flows right out. We're all just looking at it like, I'm sure we're giggling, talking, laughing. Now where do we go next? And it's all, 30 degrees or whatever to keep the meat at the right temperature. We followed the animal all the way through as they chopped it up into steak.
To the point where you actually ate it for lunch?
Lunchtime.
I don't think we were
Or did you go to
much.
McDonald's afterwards?
We don't have a McDonald's
in
Tipton.
I feel like we used to not try to protect our kids from reality. Yeah. Like now... We never want them to grow up. We don't want them to see anything. We don't want them to hear anything. We don't want them to do anything. Right. And we're not interested if they're entertained. We'd rather them be educated. Like now, it's Space Camp or you have to go to some IMAX whatever or some 3D whatever.
Constantly.
I went to the Lowry's seasoning plant in Eagle Rock, California. It's where they make taco flavoring, everybody.
Lowry's seasoning salt is famous. Why'd you go there, though?
I know, but not famous amongst 11-year-olds.
Right.
I was an 11-year-olds
want to know how does it come together.
I don't know what spices
do they use?
Doesn't have Lowry's in their cupboard.
But there's no topic. Perhaps manufacturing turkey coops could be the only topic more boring than seasoning for a 12-year-old.
No, how Gruber got his nickname.
Well, that's
that
true.
That was kind of boring.
Yeah, that was pretty boring. Yeah. You're right. Thanks. But we did thankfully leave with little mini sampler packets of taco seasoning, which is gold out on the schoolyard. I mean, you can get whatever you want with a packet of Lowry's taco seasoning. I felt like we grew up in a time when it was like, look, F what the kids want. They're on it's school time. We're not here to entertain. They're going to go see a cow get slaughtered, and this guy's going to go see how they season the meat the cow gets ground into.
I got a question. Did they shoot the seasoning salt with a 22 at any
Killed point? Lowry's.
A double tap right to the air.
You know that you're supposed to... no one gets exposed to animals anymore. That's what people are allergic these days. So you really
Is that what it is?
Yeah. But in the old days, of course, there weren't all these allergies because you were exposed to animals all the time as a very young person, so you wouldn't have the allergies. Your body starts taking this in, and so you learn to acclimate yourself.
But what about peanuts?
I don't know what that is.
I'll tell you what it is.
Because this is a weird thing that we discussed, like, the day we met.
I think we're raising a nation of pussies.
Yes,
I really do.
We are.
I think the fact that no kid I knew was allergic to almost anything, and now everyone has industrial allergies or indoor allergies.
They're
allergic to the carpet. Fatal. They're allergic to the peanuts.
My
they're allergic to everything.
Anything that has to do with a peanut. Peanut butter, a peanut. No. Can't bring it to school. He can't bring it in a metal lunchbox that locks. he can't bring it to school because right. some kid could be so allergic that looking at it would kill him.
It's yeah. And also, this,
he's a pussy.
Also, whenever they talk, now they're going to make a rule that says you can't smoke in the car because the kids are asthmatic and secondhand smoke and all that kind of stuff.
Hand issue with that.
I was arguing with somebody about this. I think it was the mayor of Calabasas who was making smoking that, outdoors mm-hmm. illegal. And he said, you know, the alarmingly high rate of asthma in children today, it's tenfold what it was, you know, 50 years ago. And I said, 50 years ago, when everyone smoked everywhere, when airplanes seemed like they were on fire when you opened the door because all the smoke would come billowing out. They smoked every job, every workplace. There was no designated smoke area. So how's you tell me the correlation between everyone smoking and knowing having asthma and now some secondhand smoke and every kid has asthma? I just feel like every kid needs a helmet. They all need braces. They all have asthma. They're all allergic to peanuts. And they're pussies. And I'll be goddamned if Sarge and Sonny are going to be raised by pussies.
Right? I tried to build a smoking helmet. So I could wear it and smoke while we worked. Yep. And I'd wear this giant helmet and I'd smoke in it.
You're not lying, aren't you?
No, I swear to God, I full on tried to get it going.
What do you mean a smoke?
Remember the old diving bells that they used to wear, the giant brass head? Yeah. I was trying to do that out of plexiglass so I could light a cigarette, pull the head down, and then smoke in the helmet. But if you've ever been to, like, the haunted house at Disneyland, remember the lady in the glass ball?
Right.
That's what you looked like. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon the thing filled with smoke and nobody could even see you.
What happened to Danny? He drove off a cliff. I told him not to drive that smoking helmet on. He couldn't see a thing.
I tried to figure it out so hard.
Smoking helmet.
He insists that his tombstone say Dan.
I feel like you trying to construct a smoking helmet simultaneously makes you the best and worst parent of all time. There's not many folks you can say that about. I think makes on one hand you're a saint. You've decided to protect your kids from secondhand smoke. On the other hand, you're a lunatic. You want to wear an aquarium on your head so you can smoke.
That's where I started. It was with a fishbowl.
Back to your gilded cage.
Your Lucite gilded cage.
Totally, man.
Filled with secondhand smoke.
I worked on the 37th floor of the Hancock Building in Chicago where it's freezing and you couldn't smoke in the building. That's crap.
I'm 12 years old.
The naked trucker and T-Bones.
Wait, that gets groans on this show?
No, we just groaned.
And applause. Groans and applause.
It got bleeped out. Oh. The show tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 10:30, Comedy Central. Boys, as your characters on the show would say, mazel tov.
Right.
Right. I assume you're Jews, right?
Of course. Yeah.
I'll see you at Tot Shabbat with the kids.
The Naked Trucker and T-Bones tomorrow night. And speaking of naked, we actually have a guitar to give away.
Heard about that. Gibson guitar
that everyone has been handling.
Somebody can cover their
away.
Private parts
How
with
How many think it would take me to get arrested if I went down to the corner naked with that guitar on and played it?
Well, if you announce what corner you're going to go to, I'll probably less
like
time.
Immediately, and tell what corner I was going to.
I don't know if they don't see your rear end, you probably won't get arrested.
Yeah. Well, of course they'll see my rear end. I'll be naked except for a guitar.
You're asking for it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the point. It's a radio show. Let's do some of that wacky old radio stuff.
Then why carry the guitar?
Because if you show your wiener, then you're a perv.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, then you have to.
That's not funny. And it's a 14-year-old to be driving by.
It's 37 degrees outside. It's not cool. Right. It's not wiener flaunting
it's
weather.
It's down to like 9 inches now because it's freezing.
Yeah, I think with this weather, you could go out naked and not get arrested. Like, technically.
Because even the cops aren't going to get out of the car. They're like,
right.
I don't know.
All
whatever.
I see is
that qualifies as one. It's too small, and I'm not getting out of the car.
I see a patch of Lucille Ball's hair.
What's
I love Lucy
talking?
Merkin. Oh, that's Ricky. All I can say.
Merkin.
All right.
My favorite.
Now, Danny, don't do anything stupid. We need you around here.
Well, thank you, sir.
We need to take a break, but we were going to say that if you have any good naked stories, I have a couple of good naked stories. I'm guessing Danny and Teresa do as well. We will give you this Gibson guitar, this very expensive Gibson guitar, for your best naked story, 866-901-ADAM. Guys, it's been a pleasure, and we'll be watching tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 10:30, Comedy Central.
Thank you so much, Adam. Thanks, everybody. Break. Teresa, Danny.
Be right back. He's going by Dana. Or the pioneer of the smoking helmet. And by the way, let me tell you something about this.
Buddy.
They laughed at Da Vinci when he spoke about the helicopters and the parachutes and the submarines. But he was hailed as a genius some years later on. I feel with you, when we're all walking around in 2047 wearing smoking helmets, I feel like you will get your due.
And then I want to be known by my legal name, which is Dante.
Right. Of course, you would have been claimed by emphysema long before that. But the point is your children will walk around donning their smoking helmets with pride.
Sergeant Sonny. I smoke 3 packs a day with total impunity because 100 other things are going to kill me first.
That's right, including program director Jack Silver if you go out naked. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. What's the stupidest thing you ever did naked? And why the hell were you naked in the first place? Call 866-901-ADAM. The best story is going to win an Epiphone DR100 acoustic guitar. Epiphone's most popular acoustic, the DR100 features a select spruce top, mahogany back, and a rosewood fingerboard. Want the guitar? Put your clothes back on and give us a call. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Three kinds of wood in that guitar.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sporting two kinds of wood just looking at Teresa Strasser.
Thank you.
You look beautiful today.
Thank you.
Did you tan or something?
No.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
What happened? Another online date?
No. No. No, in fact,
Another sexual predator move into the neighborhood?
No, I had a small rejection over the weekend.
What happened?
I flirted with a guy on Friday night. He asked for my phone number. I put it in his phone. Haven't heard from him.
Oh, no, that's not a rejection yet.
It was Friday, though.
Guys are so lame about that and how long. Do you know what I do? You know, when I was picking up chicks, do you know what I do? Because guys are such losers. You'd give me your phone number, right?
Yes.
And I'd say, guys, it was really nice meeting you. Then I'd go outside to my car and I'd call the number. And I'd say, I just want you to know
that's
I'm not
like.
One of those guys that doesn't call.
Yes,
I'll call
want
you
that.
Tomorrow.
Well, I really wanted that.
Well,
but
sometimes I think you're a stalker, but I try to be cute.
And tell me if you guys think maybe this was a mistake, because I thought I was,
yes.
I was trying to appear confident. So I put it in his phone, but I didn't list it under my name. I listed it under Sweet Piece of Ass.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't find it.
I think I did that. I think we have the same phone number.
He could probably find that one.
Yeah.
Now,
it's not looking.
You're at a bar? You're at a party?
I was at the Improv.
Mm-hmm. Well, comedian? Was he a comedian?
Yeah.
Trouble.
Who are dark and hideous people.
Speaking of, let's hear some naked stories.
All
there
right.
you go, fatty. Sure. Why don't you do a couple sit-ups?
Sure, your phone's ringing right now.
No. But honestly, there was the 2-day rule, and then it was a 3-day rule.
I know.
You know what? You know what you got to do? Next time, get their phone number, and I'll call them.
I'm depressed.
Right here on the air. You get give a guy your phone number. Like, you know what? I'll take mine. And if he had yours, too. And if he doesn't call in 3 or 4 days, I'll call him.
I was tired of the games, and that's why I would just be like, do you want to play this game, or do you just want to start sucking? So
just
that's
like
the
that.
Way, that's
well,
what, straight up.
That's
straight
what
up.
I never, like I told you, I've never been
that's
on
how
a proper,
I met Danny.
A proper, exactly.
Yes.
By the way, that's how I tell everybody I got this show. That's how I tell because it's my standard joke.
That's what I say, too.
I don't want to go through like the whole explanation, so I just say I gave Adam and then I got the job.
I say Jack Silver, easy to please.
I would go to a bar or a club or whatever it was, even at 15, because they had, in my day, they had clubs for teenagers.
That's right.
Remember that, the Odyssey on Gay until 2 in the morning, and then it would turn straight. It was really weird.
Kind of like Dan.
15-year-olds kidding, I was gay all day. Check out my shirt. But you'd go out and you'd like pick up chicks all the time, and it would all go really well and really easy. It was really easy to do back then. Now it seems like it's much more trouble, and chicks get rejected. See, in my world, when a 250-pound chick's the same as a hot chick, I just can't possibly imagine not calling Teresa.
Well, here's the thing that...
That was a great compliment.
Thank you. Here's the thing that's confusing, and it's not about me. We'll get to naked people, but me and all the women I know have this question. Maybe you guys can answer it. Why put the full court press on somebody and flirt them up for hours and then not call?
See if you can do it.
I don't like that. Yeah, a lot of guys do that. Part of that is people get drunk, and when they get drunk, they just blindly sort of move along whatever highway, even if they don't want to be on that highway. And it's just sort of fun and games. And women will flirt with guys who they have no intention of being with as well.
True.
I don't like it, and I don't understand what's in it for you. So you found someone who seems to be attracted to you. Do you really need that kind of affirmation
ego
constantly?
Boost.
All right.
I did bring home the girls from bars, and they just stay for 3 years, and then I met one and married her, and I've been married for 17 years. I've never been on a date.
We were talking about things you've done in the nude. We're going to give away a guitar
with three kinds of wood.
Three kinds of wood. Now with three kinds of wood, Alex?
Yes.
You were arrested?
I was about 15 years old, and I was with my best friend, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and of course, you know, mushrooms and alcohol were involved in it. And
of course.
So, anyways, we decided, hey, let's go streaking, and we ran all the way into a main busy street, and it was funny how quick the cops came. They came within, like, minutes, you know, and arrested us both and marched us back to where we lived. We lived in this apartment complex, and they marched us through this apartment complex
naked?
Butt naked.
Wow, and you, I feel like if I was a cop, I'd have a throw a pair of sweatpants in the trunk of the cruiser just on the off chance I'd run into someone naked and have to take them down.
Oh,
and then what year was this?
Gosh, 81.
I was going to say, I thought it was more recent. I feel like streaking has gone the way of the dodo. It was all the rage. Ray Charles, where are you when we need you to write another song about streaking?
When I did the transvestite thing and I beat the cops home in that chase, I ripped off all my clothes and got in bed, and I was going to say I was in bed all night. That was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And when they kicked in the front door, I mean, kicked it in, you could hear there was an army of them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, bad call on the laying in bed naked.
Oh, so they pulled you out naked?
No, I hid in the closet. Mm-hmm. And then they beat the bejesus out of me, and I said, I'm naked. And they ran up and got a pair of white shorts, which were Gretchen's. And she's a size zero. And I was almost 200 pounds back then.
Did you have three kinds of wood?
I had no kind of wood. I had blood all over me, and it was over. That was the night. It's all over. No career, no nothing.
Now here's Paige. Paige, I think, is someone.
That's got to be a girl.
I may have went to high school with Paige.
Yes.
Paige the boy? Paige boy?
Yeah, Paige boy.
Horrible haircut and a horrible name.
It's actually my last name.
Oh, all right. I see. Then not so bad.
Yeah.
What happened to you in high school?
I was out in the quad, grubbing down on some nachos and some sweats, going commando.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I guess, pantsing was a thing to do, and a girl came up and pantsed me. And I had my hands full of nachos, so it took a good 10 seconds for me to register and get my pants up.
Mm-hmm.
So since I tilted to the left a little bit, I was called lefty for the next 2 years.
I'm more intrigued with you eating nachos at school. Did you set your beer down, too, or what? They have nachos at your high school, huh?
Yeah, 40s were at lunch, though.
Mm-hmm. And where'd you go to high school?
I went to Kennedy High School in Fremont, California.
Mm. Oh, Bay Area.
So he says he had his pants pulled down in the quad. My high school had a quad, too. Do all high schools have a quad?
I don't even know what a quad is.
I guess so.
But you know what a quaalude is, right? Okay. Quad.
Just you know, my graduating class of my school, swear to God, on my life, was so small because I went from 9th to 12th grade and there was all these rich and celebrities. My entire graduating class of the 12th grade was me, Michael Jackson, and Christian Brando. And out of the three of us, I have the best reputation.
Yeah.
Isn't that bitchin'?
Now, do you guys have reunions? Michael, Christian, Brando?
All the time. Go up to Neverland and watch Christmas.
I picture you more like at one of the meeting rooms at the Burbank Hilton. Just you three are standing around with name tags. Yeah, I remember you.
That was my whole graduating class. That was our prom.
We did a speedball back in 79. That's right.
Who was voted most likely to overdose?
Your dad was the godfather. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember you.
He was a weirder guy than his kid.
Really?
Yeah.
But his kid was pretty weird, too,
right?
He would eat
like you would think King Henry VIII would eat. Like something that looked like mutton.
Marlon Brando, you're talking about.
Which is giant legs of animals.
Speaking of legs of animals, Chris got drunk and went into a KFC naked. Yes?
Yeah, Adam, we ended up getting drunk with my best friend and his mom. So she takes us to the KFC drive-thru. She turns around to get my order. I'm in the back seat. I'm stark naked. So she starts screaming and freaking out. So I hop out. You know, I'm going to get me some KFC.
Mm-hmm.
So the doors were locked at KFC. It was pretty late. My buddy had to tackle me naked, throw me back in the car with his mom there the entire time.
Now, what was the part where you got naked?
I was just sitting in the back of the car and just felt like the right thing to do.
Right. I feel like I have an impulse to get naked, and then I have an impulse to eat chicken, but it's not in the same time period. You know, I feel like I've separated those two impulses.
Different strokes.
All right. No, listen, I don't judge.
His wires got crossed.
I cannot judge. By the way, let KFC be a reminder to all those who are out there currently effing up coleslaw, which is no one does it better than the crappy coleslaw over at KFC. That's coleslaw. I don't want the golden raisins. I don't want the big chunks of apple. I don't want the large leaf cabbage in there. I don't want the vinaigrette dressing. Think of KFC. If they can make the world's best coleslaw, then everyone who owns a restaurant or a diner is listening can do it as well. Let's not F it up.
You know what else they can do? Their mashed potatoes are napalm. It's the hottest substance known to man, KFC mashed potatoes.
Well, thank God it sticks to the roof of your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Chased by cops while streaking again. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you guys a choice.
Okay.
I'll tell you, although I don't want to sway you, but line 8 I've already fallen in love with because lit fart in bed, dog attacked me. I don't feel like we're going to do better than that.
That's going to be a tough one.
Well, I like answer door naked, but I'll go with lit fart in bed.
All right, Sean, for 100. Lit fart in bed.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, guy.
I am not proud to say that I have lit probably over 100 farts.
Over 100.
Oh, sure.
Over 100.
Has every man lit his fart?
Yes.
No.
Well, maybe
I would
only
assume
about a half a dozen times, but after this one, man, that was it. I'm done with it.
You did it in bed.
Well, my wife and I were going to bed. We were watching TV, and I turned off the television, set the remote on the bedside table. And as I put the remote down, I, you know, kind of felt my lighter. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing you know, maximum. I'm kicking my legs up, and kablam, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the room lights up, and my dog sleeping at the foot of the bed freaks out and, like, starts attacking me. So now I'm fighting off this 75-pound yellow lab.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Now, what are you wearing at this point?
Oh, nothing.
See the naked fart light. I don't go for it. I don't go for that. It's like getting a.
There's a bick right next to your sphincter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
No, I know. I do it through denim almost exclusively.
Right.
I'll do it through my underwear.
Mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't a good judgment all the way around.
So. All right. So dog attacks you after you light your own fart in bed.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, me too.
I feel confused. Were you doing this to impress your wife?
No, not to impress her. I'm kind of a tea,
you know.
Usually I send flowers, but what about
yeah,
my
you're trying
out?
To put her in the mood, and sometimes the naughty talk just ain't cutting it.
Got to go a different direction entirely.
That's right. All right, hold on, Sean.
Yeah.
Your dog. Now, see, labs don't normally attack.
That was one part of the story I didn't care for. But it was scared because there was a sudden fire in the crotch.
The whole room lit up.
Mm-hmm. And what did your wife have to say about it?
Well, she was pretty much giggling. But, you know, I think overall she was probably more embarrassed for me than anything. Because it was just awful.
Oh, right. Boy.
Hang
this
on, Sean.
Nice.
Do you play the guitar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, hold on a second.
That's fairly good.
That's pretty good.
Let's talk to Dylan. Dylan?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
All right, well, when I was in high school, I was a freshman. My cousin told me that if you answer the door naked, the Mormons won't come to your house anymore. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm crazy enough to do that. So one morning, I'm eating my Cheerios, you know, in the morning, and the Mormons start coming up to the porch. So I'm like, oh, perfect. So I strip down butt naked, boom, and I answer the door. And a girl from my math class is right there, dude. She's one of the Mormons preaching the gospel fire, whatever she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, in shock. Like, oh, damn, I'm going to have to sit next to this girl all year long.
So you flung the door open naked, and so when you went to high school,
mm-hmm.
was there with you. Now, did you see her later that day?
I saw her the following Monday because it was, like, a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her on Monday. Not a word came out of her mouth.
Mm.
Not a word.
And it was never spoken of with her.
Never, ever.
See, now this is how you know he's not lying, is because I said you saw her the following day, and he said, no, I saw her on Monday. This was on a Saturday. That's how you know.
Well done.
When you're lying, you just go, the next morning. And the story's more entertaining. I'm sorry to say, but I saw her the next day and she was beat red, or she was standing with the principal and they called me into the office. See, that's how you know when people are making up a story, because it's worth making up.
Not a peep. I was trying to get some eye contact with her, see if she would, like recognize me. I want to know if she was going to blab it to the whole school.
Well, maybe
school,
she didn't recognize you with your pants on.
Maybe that could be true. But no, when we were standing in front of each other, we totally like locked eyes. We totally know exactly who we were. Like, oh, damn.
All right. Hang on. We also have Dan. Pants fell down on football field. I feel like if Dan is a bust, we'll give it to Sean, who lit the fart in bed. Dan?
Yeah. I think Dan's work's cut out for him.
What happened on the gridiron?
All right. Well, first of all, let me say I was in the band. I wasn't on the football team. I played trumpet.
Oh, so
but you're on the football field.
Right. Now, I play trumpet.
Could be good. Because naked on the football field is a five, but naked wearing a six-foot-high fur hat and naked on the football field is good.
Looking like the Swiss Guard.
Yeah.
It was actually a cowboy hat. But anyway.
You're that nerd.
Even better.
Right.
So anyway, I walk out. I got to walk down this long aisle of cheerleaders, or actually they were a dance team, and they form the aisle where you put the sword up and you walk through it. I'm playing a solo to Are You Lonesome Tonight, the Elvis song.
Sure.
I feel my pants start to fall down, so as I'm walking, I stick my ass out a little bit to try to keep my pants up, kind of give it some leverage.
And the guy behind you takes it as a clear message?
No, there was no one behind me. Once.
Come on, I have to talk to Silver today.
Just me by myself. I go walking out. I see the cheerleaders, the crowd. My pants come down, and I try to pull them up at the same time. It's like the song has to go on. So everyone sees it. It's videotaped. So instead of just standing there playing, I just sat down and played the rest of the solo, and then got up as the band came back around, and then went back into the formation. That was that.
All right, so. Pants fall down. Now, you're wearing underpants, right?
No. No underpants. I never wear underwear.
What? All right, hold on a sec now. I got the guy Blue Wind in bed, naked in bed at home. Not exactly naked in public, although I do like the twist with the fart and the dog attack.
See, the dog attack is what helps me.
We got the guy answers the door with his pants down. I feel like we have three 6.5s here to choose from. You want to just pick one? Call it the winner?
See, if the dog would have lit a cigarette off the guy's keister, that would have been bitching.
Well, another thing I'm not real proud of, Dan.
But?
I have done that.
Lit a cigarette?
Before.
What?
Now, I must say, to be fair.
What about the guy on the end smoking it?
Well, to be fair to my buddy, the Wheeze.
You have a Wheeze, too?
He remembers me being on the business end of the arse, and I remember him being on the business end.
I could have sworn you said nigh,
of my arse. Either way, a cigarette in my old apartment, my one bedroom on Laurel Canyon, was lit off the flame of what came out of one's ass.
Well, in honor of that, you have to give it to Sean.
You're right. Sean?
I was going to say, in honor of that, I should chug a Coca-Cola and then do this.
Sean, you're in. You just won yourself a guitar now with three kinds of wood.
Awesome.
All right, hang on. We'll take a quick break. What do we got coming up? We got some quick Golden Globes talk, a little wrap up. Nice. And then Kelly Perdue. Kelly was the winner of The Second Apprentice. He's in here to talk a little mixed martial arts. Explain how that goes. Yes, it's something I know about. Dan, I'm sure you have plenty to do with that as well. We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show.
When I stared down and saw your two wrinkled Golden Globes on my chin, I thought to myself, I better win a bloody award for it.
Adam, Danny, and Teresa are talking about last night's Golden Globes on The Adam Carolla Show.
And a quick correction from the last segment. I think we were talking about streaking, and I said Ray Charles should write another song about it, and I meant Ray Stevens.
And they call it The Streak.
And they call him The Streak. Yeah. I realize the way my mind works is Steven and Charles are both sort of first names. I'm surprised they don't get confused. Yeah, he sung Ahab the Arab. Very politically incorrect.
Can I show you a quick impression?
Yes.
Ray Charles streaking. Ready?
This is radio.
This is radio.
Danny just ran into the wall. Do it again. That would be my impression of you trying to walk your dog with the smoking helmet on.
Did you guys watch the Golden Globes last night?
Yes, I'm part of it.
How gorgeous did Angelina Jolie look in every shot they kept panning to her? She looked amazing.
Yeah, she looked good.
She and Beyonce looked good.
I feel like almost everyone who shows up there looks pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, they're at least running at full potential. It's all you can ask out of yourself, your car, or anything else, which is your car's not going to win the Indy 500, but you hope that it's well-tuned and running on all cylinders.
At the Emmys, when I had a show, they make you go. When you have a show so you can walk the red carpet and get pictures and try and promote the show. Mm-hmm. And Gretchen and I, and she looked beautiful. And Gretchen and I were voted not only worst dressed, but underneath us, it said King and Queen of the Trailer Park.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you're royalty. Look at the bright
side. And she wrote back saying, where's my friggin' crown, which I thought was funny.
Was it in the newspaper?
It was the whole last page of In Touch or Us. I think In Touch magazine.
How dare they?
How dare they?
Well, one of the big breakout stars of this year is America Ferrera, who's the young lady who stars in Ugly Betty.
All right.
Now, Ugly Betty won a Golden Globe last night for Best Comedy Series, and America also won.
I don't like this empowering of fat and unattractive people.
Well, let's listen to her speech for a moment,
slippery
then you can
slope.
Mock her.
Slippery slope.
Thank you to the Hollywood Foreign Press for recognizing this show and this character who is truly bringing a new face to television. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful message about beauty that lies deeper than what we see. And it's such an honor to play a role that I hear from young girls on a daily basis, how it makes them feel worthy and lovable,
and
that they have more to offer the world than they thought.
Ugly's
and
a trophy
it's such an honor to play this role.
That's she is
a
adorable.
Bitch.
Yeah, but then she gets interviewed backstage by the waif model who works for Entertainment Tonight.
Maria Menounos.
Condescendingly explains to her how beautiful she is, even though
that
this chick
worst,
doesn't eat because she's scared to put on 2 ounces to look a little bit like the chick she's saying is so beautiful.
Right.
Please, just spare us. And by the way, I don't need to have you tell me who's hot. I got eyeballs.
Yeah.
None of you or my mom's friends trying to convince me how beautiful a fat chick is going to make me think she's hot. I feel like there's a lot of demands we make as a society, like a lot of people yelling, you better respect me. You got to respect me. You better not respect. Here's the deal. I'll decide whether I respect you or not. I'll decide whether you're hot or not. Quit yelling at me to do it.
Jennifer Hudson, will you be the decider?
No.
Don't be mad at me because I just didn't understand when the first time I saw it. But I'm driving on the freeway and I see a sign that says Museum of Tolerance. And I didn't realize what it was. And I went, no, I'll decide if I'm going to tolerate you. I thought it was people on the street.
Yes.
Well, Jennifer Hudson is another big breakout star this year. She won a supporting actress
in
Dreamgirls.
Got the big part,
right? Yes, she had perhaps one of
the most... That's a big bitch.
One of the most transcendent moments ever caught on film, in my humble opinion, in Dreamgirls. And the Golden Globe, the Hollywood Foreign Press agreed with me. Here she is, and I think this line was oft quoted by other people throughout the night, and we're probably going to be hearing a lot of it. Here's Jennifer Hudson accepting her Golden Globe.
Let me give me 1 second. Cannot be, I'm trying not to cry. But you do not know how much this does for my confidence. Because of this.
Everyone loved that.
Oh my God, am I turning to Effie up here? Okay. Because of this, it makes me feel like I'm a part of a community.
Yeah. Yes.
She just gained 5 pounds. She doesn't mind. That's all.
I don't like everyone eating in the background.
Yeah, the clinking of forks and knives and.
Yes. Plus, all of you have eaten for the last 3 weeks to prepare for this. You don't need to eat now.
That's
all the
why
clanking
they're so hungry.
And running around. Yes.
Well, there was a weird moment when your favorite Adam Prince won for a song. Well, here's what happened. I'm going to play it for you. He did a song for that animated movie, Happy Feet. It's called The Song of the Heart.
Every time I see the commercial for the Super Bowl where this Faye Blowhard is going to be performing at, I want to vomit because I think to myself, any real football fan has no interest in Prince.
Well, Justin,
is that right?
He's the antithesis of football.
Yes.
See, I dig him. Totally.
Here's why I hate. I hate him for the same reason I've had an ass full of Bob Dylan, which is genius. No. Listen to this crap. It's dated and horrible. And at the foot, the most sacred of all events for an atheist, the Super Bowl, you got this guy with the sequins and the eyeliner screwing up my Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, difference, Bob Dylan. Hands and going. Prince, I'll have sex with you.
Well,
yeah, that's where Prince comes
into
play.
I think he will be showing up at the Super Bowl. However, when Justin Timberlake took the stage to award him his Golden Globe, here is what happened.
I'll bet.
Well, I guess Prince couldn't be here, so I'd like to accept this award on his behalf.
And he made like he was short. That's why everyone's laughing. He ducked down like he was a short guy. But Prince then showed up later. He was caught in traffic.
Yeah, look, he is a colossal blowhard, everybody. Please.
Yeah.
When American Idol wanted to do the Prince stuff, he didn't want to sing with anybody and stuff. Just admit he's an a-hole. Please, stop loving this man. All he does, he's trying to bang your sister. And then he cranks out this crap from the 80s, which sounds like fried hell today. That's how you judge an artist. You listen to the Beatles, circa 1960, whatever, stuff sounds as good as it did in 1968. You listen to some of the crap that this guy regurgitated when he was high on blow in 1984, it looks like a bad prom dress.
In Minnesota, the home of rock and roll.
It looks like a bad prom picture where you look at it and go, oh my God, what was I wearing? What was I thinking? Can you believe my hair? That's what Prince sounds like 20 years later. He's not a genius, he's a blowhard.
I was his bodyguard one night at the palace.
You were his bodyguard.
I worked at the palace at the door. They did a mad, bad mistake. They took very small professional tournament fighters and put us in tuxedos, and we were the security. The problem was no one was afraid of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we hurt people all the time.
You were Prince's bodyguard.
Well, he got a private booth, and I was the guy that stopped you from going up to the booth, and then when he was done, I got to walk him to the door. So that's my... I was in security.
I also feel like he's one of these blowhards who likes to go out and then not see anybody so people know he can't be seen, but he's outside. Like, if you don't want anyone to come up to you, stay home.
I've heard that he's one of those guys, don't look at me. And those guys should have their eyes cast out.
He changed his name to a symbol, everybody.
Well, he had a slave name, Adam. The record company gave him a slave name and added to take
call me Kunta Kinte and give me a lot of money.
A-hole should be his slave name. Please.
Well, he went back to
stop.
Prince.
Please, stop holding him up, like, on the
you
pedestal,
could,
everybody. Believe me. Blow hard in sequence. Please stop it, everybody. Yes, this stuff sounds like crap now.
He's now a Golden Globe winner.
Listen, all you Prince, all you huge Prince fans, all you guys who hail him as a genius, go back and listen to his stuff from the 80s. You tell me how great it sounds today. I do kind of like this song.
Okay, you have to admit, this is good.
This is a good song.
Raspberry Beret.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Exactly.
All right. This song
is
sounds
that
like
what
crap.
You're going to say?
Are we done with the Golden Globes?
One more.
One more. Okay, this was perhaps my favorite speech. Forrest Whitaker, who won for The Last King of Scotland. He won Best Actor in a Drama.
And the guy with a weird eyeball.
Yes, he has one strange eyeball. I'm not sure what the situation is.
Like Lance Bass.
But he did... yes, a little.
Can't tell them apart.
They're like twins.
He seemed genuinely flustered and flattered. Here is his speech, Forrest Whitaker.
I think he was more flummoxed.
Yes.
Yeah, this is great. Wow, wow. Wow, okay.
Starts tearing up right here.
I don't know what, Josh.
Yeah.
One in the middle of his cheek.
No, thank you. Thank you for this award, for the Best Actor award.
Look, when you're the odds-on favorite, he went to SC.
Ah.
By the way, that means Brian would have sex with him. As any famous male that is alum of SC, Brian would have
That's
sex.
That's the deal you have with your penis?
If you are the leader in the clubhouse going into the final day, do not be so surprised when you win and they hand you the trophy.
Right.
This movie he was in, which I didn't see because I don't support quality. I just
nice.
Like to make fun of crap. But the point is this
I'm going to watch Wedding Crashers, not The King of Scotland.
The King of Scotland is being... His performance is like, well, why
heralded.
Are they even holding the Oscars?
Yes,
why don't they just drop
Idi
it
Amin.
Off at his house right now?
Yeah, so he doesn't eat anybody.
But 2 weeks before... The the Golden Globes, he knows he's probably going to be standing up on stage. But get your ass together. Get a little cheat sheet and read it off to us. That's all.
I won for Best Reality Show. And I brought my wife up because she was, like I said, getting pissed off.
Right? This was a Golden Globe,
no,
an Emmy?
No, John Gods. No, Best Reality Show on whatever. Look who you're talking to.
He gave himself
like weird-ass
a trophy
award.
Made of foil.
No, I think it was VH1 Big in 05 or something.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes, right. I know what you mean.
And I won. There was Dog the Bounty Hunter. There were some good people. But still, my wife went up and she said what she was going to say. And I said, I think it would be the height of bad taste to write a speech for an unscripted show. And then I just said whatever I wanted to say and split.
That's the thing, is you don't want to act like you prepared, because acting like you've prepared...
It's acting like you think you were going to win.
Right. But it still doesn't mean you can't secretly prepare.
Yes,
right.
I just memorized it.
That's what I did.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Enough with the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Have you seen who's on the phone, though? Somebody was at the Golden Globes and has a print story maybe when we come back.
Oh, well, wait a second. I can't resist this one.
You tried it.
Amy?
I tried.
Yes, hello.
You're at the Golden Globes?
You know, I was working with press, so I really can't say a whole lot. But what I can tell you is when Prince had to use the restroom, yes, we had to lock off the bathroom. We had security standing in front of the bathroom. He had his little cheesy jumpsuit on, and he had to pee by himself.
Thank you.
Leonardo DiCaprio was stuck outside waiting for Prince to pee. The poor guy could not even go into the bathroom.
Prince, I actually heard that he had one of his entourage had to kneel on all fours so he could stand on his back to reach the urinal.
No, because now they have the Gary Coleman.
Oh, I see.
Because of little people.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Now, look, all I'm saying to everybody is, I have hated Prince since I heard his first song back in 1982. How many blowhard prima donna stories do we need to hear about the guy? How dated does the crappy 80 music have to sound? I'm only asking you people to lower him from deity to musician. Could we please stop saying he's a genius and just lower him to musician? I feel like there's a never-ending bottomless sea of love for a guy who makes this... artistically, who sings about ladies wanting to have sex with him, and who evidently, by all accounts, is one of the biggest blowhard celebrity sort of star trip guys I've ever heard about. Could we please lower him to just musician?
You want us to act our age, not our shoe size?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, all right. You have a deal, pal.
Now let's listen to this for a second.
No.
All of my purple lights. Oh, man, yes. I was wrong what I said about the Beatles. This sounds, this could have been done yesterday or 100 years in the future.
Oh, Mozart did it in this one.
Yeah, this is some great stuff.
It's going to be Beethoven because he can hear it.
Yeah. Who would know this was from the 80s? All right. All right. Yeah. Anyone who's got a Casio wants to twist their own groin can come up with this. We'll take a quick break. Kelly Perdue, the winner of Apprentice, second season, in here to talk a little Ultimate Fighting after this.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Word up, peeps! From ESPN, we'll talk to Stephen A. Smith. From the Brady Bunch, Christopher Knight. Hey, he's married to that hot piece of ass, Adrian Curry. Eric Estrada from Armed and Famous. Holy crap! Christopher Knight, Eric Estrada, Danny Bonaduce all in one studio. What is this, Nick at Night? Late!
Thanks, Jack. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kelly Perdue is in studio. You remember him from winning the second season of The Apprentice, military man, West Point. Yes?
Yes, West Point.
Yeah, you might want to speak.
You got it. West Point, military intelligence officer, airborne ranger.
God bless you, man. God bless. I mean that really sincerely. God bless you.
Yeah, before we get into all the stuff about the mixed martial arts and that kind of stuff, tell us a little about your background. So you go to West Point out of high school.
Yep.
And then what?
Well, when I got out, I decided to go into military intelligence. So as a graduate of West Point, you get commissioned as a second lieutenant, volunteered to go to Ranger School.
What is the commitment once you graduate from West Point? How many years?
It's anywhere from 4 to 6. It's set by Congress every year. So 4 to 6 year commitment once you graduate. Mm-hmm.
From those descriptions, except for the last one that kind of throws me, you're a spy, right?
From a military intelligence standpoint, well, first of all, I wouldn't tell you if I was.
Ah.
Which is a yes.
Did you have a specialty area of intelligence?
you specialize after about 5 or 6 years in. But I actually did was a counterintelligence platoon leader. So,
do you know Montel Williams speaks fluent Russian and Chinese? He's a total spy.
Montel is.
Yep.
That's a good cover.
Like to peel his
was
very peel funny
his onion one day
until now.
But dude, the West Point ad just so impresses me.
Yeah. So then you go into Ranger school.
I went to Ranger school, which is basically small unit tactics. It's special forces training for the Army, kind of equivalent for the SEALs for the Navy.
Did you ever get to do that thing where you did the silence sign to the troop? You hold the hand up, stop, and you do the eyes to the eyes, and then like that.
Absolutely.
I want to do that underwater. That's when you know you've arrived. When you're underwater and you stop and you do that two thing, fist thing, go thing, clock thing.
Do you dive?
No.
Oh, it's easy. I'll take it.
All right. And we'll do that underwater. Danny,
I'm an instructor. I got my card on me.
Stop. And then I'll go to barracudas.
But it's not enough
o'clock.
That Kelly Perdue did all that. He then went and got a master's and a law degree.
Jesus. Can I just bone you right now?
No.
Okay. Just saying. I'm just so impressed. I just love you.
Well, what's going on in the world? I mean, what's your professional take on now we're going to send more military troops over to Iraq? Good, bad?
Well, I think it's a very, very tough situation. I think we'd be in serious trouble to just kind of leave it right now the way it is, because that would create a vacuum, and there's absolutely no way we want Iran to take over the whole region, which is what I think would occur if we left. So,
and that may be our next move, right?
Right.
It very well could be. I think there's a lot that we still have to do there. Three of my four younger brothers have served active duty, and one's still in. He's actually a medic for a SEAL team.
My older brother just got shot again day before yesterday.
And he's in the military?
In Iraq.
Well, maybe Kelly's little brother could patch him up. You know,
yeah, he's a medic.
You know, he's got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
Well, do you think there are enough troops being sent? Should there be more?
I'm not privy to the operational requirements, but I definitely think we need to put enough troops in there so that we can accomplish the mission, whatever that mission is.
Well, this may sound bad and warmongering, but I just don't understand it. Can't we just kill them all?
There are certain ways to do that, but I'm not sure that's actually the solution.
Yeah, can't separate.
You kill them all and you build Disneyland Iraq.
Well, I'm glad you're not very extreme, Dan.
I know.
And
them.
When you were working in the intelligence department, was this the focus? Was the Middle East the focus?
When I was actually on active duty, I was at the 7th Infantry Division up at Fort Ord. In Monterey, California, and that was during the first Desert Storm. So we did have a lot of focus on what was occurring there, both from a tactical, operational standpoint and strategically.
I feel like Monterey is where I'd like to hang out if I ever joined up. Yeah. And did you then travel in countries, they say, or did you do your work stateside?
I ended up staying stateside, even though it was a rapid deployable force. They sent the 82nd Airborne Division over instead of the 7th Infantry Division.
Nice. So you're just hanging around, banging cocktail waitresses and looking at fish.
You know, in my opinion, I'll bet he wasn't that happy about it. Did you want to go?
You wanted to see action, didn't
you? It's a strange thing when you're in the military, because you train, and you feel like you can do the best job at whatever it is you're doing, and you want to go actually contribute. And
most guys, I feel like after that much training, especially if you're a Ranger, especially going through West Point,
but then when you get shot and all your friends are getting blown in half, you go, I gotta stay home.
Yeah, I think that's how I would. Yeah. I would actually do the stay-at-home math before I left, actually. Yeah. I realized when I got shot at.
I'm looking through this window, and all I knew was that you won The Apprentice, and that you were now here about some sort of fighting thing. And I'm thinking through the window, because I'm an idiot, and I think these ways. I'd fight that guy right now. Big deal. But now I'm thinking, no, I wouldn't.
Hey, well,
you know a lot of cool stuff, huh?
I wouldn't fight you either, Danny.
He'd kill
him.
Well,
because
he's scared he'd get hep C, not because he'd get hurt.
Hey, you got to think about that stuff sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Kelly is here to talk about a group I'm familiar with.
That's interested.
Elite XCs, which is... going to be Frank Shamrock. That's right. And Renzo.
Is that his brother?
Gracie. So it's, yes.
Yes, they're both adopted.
And the Gracie brothers as well?
Yeah. Renzo Gracie. Actually, you might have seen him on 60 Minutes. He's the guy who would not tap out when a guy had him in an arm bar and went ahead and let his arm get broken rather than tap out.
Guy just snapped his arm because he wouldn't tap out.
Still wouldn't tap out after the break.
Do you remember the Japanese gymnast on the ring that won the gold medal? He did the flip and spiked it on a broken leg?
Yes.
Same guy to me. If he came into a bar, I would stand up and cheer.
Yeah, even scarier, the Gracie, because even after he heard the snap of his own arm, he refused to tap out. And when I saw him in the 60 Minutes interview, he's like, that's when I knew I was alive. Really? You're half dead? That's when you know you're alive?
Well, what's compelling for me about all of these fighters, and that's one of the things we're focused on as part of Elite XC, is they're really Olympic athlete quality. I mean, they have gone to, you know, black belt in 2-3 different disciplines. Sometimes that's a life's work for somebody. Mm-hmm. And these guys are at the top of their game, and we really want to kind of focus on them, celebrate them, turn them into stars.
But, you know, this is kind of a bad for me, because speaking of spending your life, I'm a third-degree black belt, and I have two other first degrees. And I've spent 25 years of my life at doing it every day, and then went sporadically more, and then became a junkie, which kind of wrecked it. But these Ultimate Fighting Championships, they'd kill me. If you go to raise a foot to kick a guy in the head, do you know what a distance that is? One of these Ultimate Fighting Championship guys would kill you for that move.
Not if you told him he dropped his keys. See, that's my ultimate move.
And Danny, let me correct you on something. We're Elite Extreme Combat.
I'm sorry.
Ultimate Fighting Championship, they're fantastic competitors of ours.
They're a bunch of girls, aren't they?
No. They've done a great job at educating a lot of people about what's going on in the sport, right. And we're really here to grow the sport.
So say your name again. I'm sorry, because I want to get it right from now on.
The Elite sport is Extreme Championship, so it's elitexc.com.
And what can we expect to see when Shamrock faces Gracie on Showtime Live Saturday, February 10th at 10?
Well, you're going to see an amazing fight. Frank Shamrock has never lost a mixed martial arts fight. He was in that UFC entity before he quit working with them for various reasons. He'd won 5 championships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you've seen and as we talked about from the 60 Minutes piece, Enzo Gracie's got a phenomenal history. You know, the Gracies are synonymous with mixed martial arts, and they've really wanted to fight each other for a long time. So we were really happy to be able to put that fight together.
And also, this is on Showtime. God. This is not a pay-per-view,
right?
Here's the deal. These fights are $40 normally. Either you have to show up in person or you got to shell out $40 on the pay-per-view. This is the first time in my memory that one of these has been on a station and for free, right?
Absolutely. We're doing the fight February 10th at 10 p.m. Eastern on Showtime, and that's the main event, the top 5 fights on the card.
Right.
We're going to stream the undercard live to the internet at proelite.com, so proelite.com, and you can get there also from elitexc.com. But we actually want to give as many people a view of what's going on with these, because a lot of people can't afford to put up, you know, $40 to see the fights.
And you're confident of your product when you're giving away free samples. Nay, not samples. You're giving away the whole kielbasa.
Yes.
Really, what this is this is like a Hickory Farms where you just go in and take the summer sausage and leave. But that's what free Showtime.
I would not call any of these guys summer sausages.
Free it's
not
sausage. Just, it's you not heard me. It's Shamrock.
Yeah, okay, see, don't get into my territory. Don't get into inviting them down to the studio because some of these guys show up.
No, it's not the only reason. We're going to put a female fight on Showtime. We've got Gina Carano. And I think you saw her at the press conference, Adam. She is
good looking.
She is cute, and she will kick your... What's it?
I feel like I would like it for about 10 minutes and then eventually.
It gets old.
You have anybody about my size that's just starting out?
I'm sure we could find somebody
for you. Because, like, the black belt stuff doesn't really help at all. I can box a little bit and I can grapple a little bit. You got a guy my size just starting out, I'll fight him.
Is there smoking in the octagon, Danny?
I have to beat him in under 45 seconds or I'm dead.
That's right.
Hey, Danny, we might be able to figure something out.
Okay.
I like
this.
At least on the undercard.
Because I don't mind if I lose to a trained guy. I'm not a bit. Adam, let me ask you as a real man. If I get in the ring with some guy that does this and I do my best and he beats me and I tap out or whatever, I'm not a puss then, right? I still got in the ring and did my best.
I thought you wouldn't tap out.
Yeah, more man than anyone I know. I mean, getting into the ring would be the scariest part. And by the way, what is the ring?
We're actually going to have a circle, and it looks like we're calling it the Monster. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be something that hasn't been seen before.
New name for Teresa's V, by the way, the Monster. Circle, padding, cage, can't get out. How many minute rounds?
My V.
We'll go with 3 5-minute rounds.
Oh, my God. I got to beat the guy in the first minute. I'm dead.
We're actually going to provide bonuses for knockout in the early rounds.
Right.
Not for the guy who gets knocked out.
No, but still, you know what? I've been knocked out a lot, so if I can't breathe after a while, I'll just let the guy knock me out.
Kelly, how much do these fighters make?
Well, that's pretty interesting. One of the things that we've done as Elite XC coming into the mixed martial arts space is really made it a lot more competitive. So fighters can make, you know, from tens of thousands of dollars up to, you know, millions if they're part of the pay-per-view piece.
Yeah, a lot of these guys got started for a couple hundred bucks.
Hey, that other organization that I will not mention, I saw a thing on them, and they're making a couple of grand for killing themselves.
And that's one of the things we really want to do. I mean, they've been fighting without health insurance for pennies.
For pennies.
To get access to this, and we're really about, you know, building them up, creating stars out of them. And one of the things that we're launching in the next week at ProElite.com is tools that enable these fighters to build their entire full web pages, attract sponsors, show their videos, show their fight results. It really helps them run their business.
I feel like if I was running a medical insurance company and I saw the box check that said mixed martial arts fighter, I might have a little trouble. Like, I might do a smoker and a diabetic before I got to the mixed martial arts insurance.
It just says pre-existing condition, and I'm screwed.
You don't even
everything.
I think other people's have a Bonaducci box they can check. If you have
ever been with Bonaducci, oh, that was gambling.
That's actually one of the things we're working on, is trying to figure out how to get the premiums. Actually get a premium that's doable, and then maybe as a group figure out something where we can provide health insurance for these fighters.
Well, it is Shamrock versus Gracie.
Oh,
and again, the Gracie that would not tap out when the crazy Japanese guy, he chose to have his arm broken instead and then still didn't tap out. We'll go against the guy who's never been beaten in mixed martial arts. That is live Saturday, February 10th, Showtime. Again, not pay-per-view, just Showtime, everybody. Elite XC's first ever event. Kelly Perdue, thank you, buddy.
Dude, you rock.
Thanks for having me.
Not Kelly, only is this a great thing, but you are a fine American.
Take Command, name of Kelly's book, by the way. News coming up next, T.
Yes, well, there's news about men and plastic surgery, and also Paula Abdul, news about her and various intoxicants.
Haven't heard about that. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
A North Carolina S&M dungeon was shut down when police got word of illegal scrotal surgeries.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T. Your time to shine, baby doll.
The Golden Globes were held last night here in Los Angeles. Dreamgirls was a big winner. It won for Best Musical or Comedy. Jennifer Hudson won an award for Supporting Actress. And Eddie Murphy won for Best Supporting Actor. And backstage, he ran into Donald Trump, and they had a little bit of an exchange. Battle of the Blowhards. Let's take a listen.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, we wrote a movie about robbing your Trump towers, right?
I know that, and I hear it's everyone wants to make it and everything.
Yeah, you have to be in it.
Okay, if you let me know, just call me.
All right.
He's actually being serious. It's going to be good.
Being Donald Trump does not suck.
Well, The Apprentice does not suck. Yes.
That's a real thing. They've got the movie about robbing the Trump towers, and they want Trump to be in it. That's a real thing.
Really? Yeah. And Eddie Murphy's part of this?
Yeah.
Donald Trump will not suck at playing Donald Trump.
Yes, he will.
Pravanka, get over here and start to not sucking Donald Trump, who does not suck.
Melania.
Who cares? With the heaving breasts.
She's beautiful.
Your heaving bosoms do not suck.
Do you think Melania is at all aware of the feud between her husband and Rosie?
I'm not sure if she speaks a lick of English.
It's not clear.
To be honest with you.
First of all, you don't want to say the word Nick, Rosie, and that chick all
that's
in the same sentence
right
there.
Paula Abdul speaks English, but sometimes it sounds a little slurred. See how I did that, Danny?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Dan, see
beautiful.
The kind of segue I do?
Smooth.
You are.
So she went on a press tour to promote American Idol, which premieres this evening, season 6. And she had a few drunken, allegedly, we don't know what was happening. But here's the sound. Here is her doing an interview with a news affiliate in San Francisco. I'm just going to play you a little snippet to give you the flavor of how Paula was sounding during her satellite press tour.
You always wiggle around that much? You're just wiggling around there in New York
City. I'm a dancer. I'm doing little dance moves. Oh,
all right.
And that was the anchor. I think his name's Ross McGowan in San Francisco.
He's got a raise.
Yes, he finally called Paula on her shenanigans. Now, Danny, said that you felt it was a combination of Vicodin, cocaine, and liquor, but her people came out and said that there were technical problems. And here is from the horse's mouth.
She technically did some blow, some Vicodin, some liquor.
Yes. Here is her explanation last night on The Tonight Show.
Well, there was a mistake. I guess it was Alabama was in my ear and so was Seattle at the same time. So right. I'm answering questions to the wrong answers of the city. So they're going, what in the heck? What is she saying? It's not my fault. I was having fun. I answered the right question in one of the cities.
Neither of those two cities are Seattle or San Francisco, and those are the two that are getting played the most.
Yeah, and how many times do we have to see it where the person seems high for such a long period of time and then claims they're not on drugs, and then later, oh, yeah, Anna Nicole's in rehab and Courtney Love's in rehab. Just say you're high if you're high.
Okay, in that case, then I'm cool with you. I've gone on shows and somebody's called me and I go, dude, I'm wasted. I've been drinking all day.
I'm so naive because for years I really
Geraldo.
Thought...
I was right at Geraldo one day and Todd Bridges said he's been sober forever and Dana Plato said she'd been sober forever. Then he asked me, I went, dude, I've been drinking all day long.
Whitney Houston, I really thought was just thin and sweaty. It really never dawned on me that she was on coke.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're so naive. You see somebody who has the greatest pipes in Hollywood throw it all away and then act, you know, erratic behavior and sweating like a Baptist minister. And yet, oh, she's just idiosyncratic or quirky or whatever. Drugs, everybody. Drugs.
Do they do that really? There are a lot of people like, who is it that would be just like Tara Reid? Did they ever say... Oh, she's quirky. Or did they just go wasted?
Well, she had one of those batting helmets with two pony kegs hooked up to it. So people knew what she was drinking. By the way, that's my invention. Forget about the 16-ounce beers and going to the helmet. And forget about Danny's smoking helmet. I want the helmet that can hold two pony kegs. But, Whitney Houston is a great example. It, for literally, I mean, almost 10 years, it was like, is she doing drugs? Because she's sweating and she's slurring. And everyone's just like, no. That's the way she is. That's not the way you are unless you suffer a brain injury.
Or you actually happen to be a Baptist minister.
Right. If you get into a motorcycle accident, then you can be that way.
Farrah
if not,
Fawcett
you're doing
one.
Drugs.
Farrah Fawcett was just acting nutty.
Dude, she's a nut.
And it seemed that, why would that be?
I'm going the pharmaceutical route.
Now, there's some news about men and plastic surgery. This, according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, there's been an enormous increase in the number of men having lip augmentations. I'm talking about 458% up between 2000 and 2005.
I'll tell you, my wife said, out of everything that hurt the worst, lips.
Oh, she had her lips done?
Mm. She had them done with the whatever stuff you inject, and then she had them done with the stuff that comes from a dead body.
Collagen?
No, the stuff it's cartilage or what?
In my family, that's called jewelry. But
we used to call it that she had Sonny Bono's ass in her mouth because he died the same day she got it.
Oh really?
No.
but they still went away. But she does it, and all she does is like Botox. She's never had any real plastic surgery. But except the boobs I bought her.
Have you had anything done?
The only thing I have ever had done has been on television. They've said, hey, we're doing this report. Will you do it? And I'd say, yeah.
Well, what was it?
I've had Botox on Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood, and I had liposuction on the other half. Oh, no, I think I had liposuction on my own once.
From what part of your body did you get it?
Here's the thing, if you want to know for real, because I don't think liposuction works at all, at all. Ask Tom Arnold. He said, I got fat on the way home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
But when you get fat, it's harder to get fat in your same spots. So even when I get fat, because I had my love handles taken off, I still don't get love handles. I get an ass the size of Wyoming.
So it'll show up somewhere else.
Because here's how it works if you care real quickly. By puberty, you have all the fat cells you're ever going to get. They get bigger, they get smaller. They suck out half of them. You're never going to get any more. But the ones you got can get bigger again.
I just had a surreal thought. But Bonaducci, who's a certified personal trainer... When he explains the inner workings of the physiology of the body, it's like hearing it from a pirate, which is confusing. It's still enlightening, but the voice doesn't go along with the information.
Yes.
You know what's funny is
it's
because
incongruent.
I was dressed like I'm wearing my cowboy outfit today, and I thought somebody might call me on it because this is normal clothes to me. And I thought, if anybody calls me on this, I'm wearing my pirate gear tomorrow.
Please.
Because I have a lot of pirate clothes. I have a lot of pirate clothes. I love pirate clothes.
It was meant to be. All right, where were we? Yes, I feel like I haven't had anything done, but if I would, I'd probably go scrotoplasty.
Of course.
I got some asymmetry swinging down there. Let me tell you what offended me apropos to the scrotum conversation.
Yeah.
Me and Dr. Drew and Kimmel and a bunch of other folks from the old K-Rock radio station were hanging around. I think it was at Ralph, who's on the morning show. As a matter of fact, if you tune in right now.
There's a bowl of talent at that station.
That's a bad idea. They should be listening here.
My old roommate, he was getting married. And we're all sitting around the table, and maybe we had a couple of pops. And Drew and I started playing along that I had scrotoplasty, that I'd actually had work done on my scrotum. And everybody at the table believed me. And then Kimmel announced, well, if anyone would do it, you'd be the guy to do it. And I thought, really? I'd be the guy to have my scrotum modified out of all these people at the table? The guy who goes out with sweatpants and a Woody every day and flip-flops? I'm the guy who's so vain that I would have my scrotum worked on?
Now,
I was insulted.
I'm very worried about this because on my MySpace friends, like if they just hate me, I ignore them.
Right.
Because if they just hate you, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
But some of them are like really trying to help me fit in here. And I've had a few of them say, you're a bit of a topper. Somebody tells a story and you kind of top them. So I don't mean to.
I think it's a gay thing.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, but I've actually had major surgery on my left testicle.
What happened to it?
It's called a hydrocele. Any doctor that wants to call in and tell you what it
is. I know what it
works.
Is.
You know what it is?
That's all right. Hydrocele, cystocele. It's a pocket of water.
It's supposed to go in through the testicle and filter out, but it didn't. It just went in. And once it was the size of a softball and started to tear its way out of the flesh, I finally got brave enough to go to the doctor and have it fixed.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't have said it better.
Producer Angie, we talk about scrotums for at least 10 minutes this break.
Well, in closing, there's a situation in Michigan to do with the law. According to their criminal code, if you have sexual conduct while committing a felony, you're then guilty of what's called first-degree criminal sexual conduct, which means that you've committed the most serious sexual assault there is in Michigan, and that carries a life term in prison, which means...
Sexual conduct? Yeah, sexual contact?
Criminal sexual conduct.
Yeah, but if you have sexual contact while committing a crime...
Conduct.
Well, how does
which
that mean?
You can do it to yourself. That's sexual conduct.
Well, here's what it was intended to fight, and now here's what it actually technically fights. The reason it came up is because there was a guy who traded drugs for sexual favors. Obviously, slinging drugs is a felony. Committing the felony for sex is why they wanted to make that punishable by life in prison. But now...
Dude, you'd have ruined like 83 to 88 for me.
Adultery is a felony in the state of Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, if while you're committing adultery, you also have sex, you're then having sex during the, while you're doing a felony, which
My wife tried to prosecute me. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yep.
For...
She tried to send me to jail for adultery because there are laws on the book.
And if you were in Michigan, you could have gone to jail for life.
She also was going to sue the girl. You don't play with my wife.
Well, now this is an interesting topic.
She put a lien out against Danny's dong.
Dude, I'm telling you, like with me, you mess with me, I might give you one right to the head. With my wife, she'll stalk you for the rest of your life because she feels you reached enough punishment.
I find that interesting that she would be mad at the girl.
The girl, she was mad at me too.
Okay.
But the girl knew her. It was a whole big drag.
I'm going to go ahead and cancel that dinner we were talking about during the commercial.
Remember the mandate?
She's the sweetest girl in the world. You'll love her. She's so fun and she parties and she drinks and she's great.
Well, when you say she threatened to sue.
If you cross her, not like, I hate that outfit or anything like that, but it was on some kind of, I don't know, a spiritual, or something that would mean something to her, like sleeping with her husband.
Right. Well, that was her friend. That wasn't
she.
Good.
She stalked this girl and cost her job after job after job for years.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll just hit you in the head once and be done. My wife will kill you.
But when she threatened to sue you, were you actually served with any papers, or this was just...
She went to the lawyer. The lawyer said there are laws on the book where you can put him in jail, and since his criminal record is so bad, you might actually get away with this. And then she backed out.
Because you gave her coffee in bed?
I don't know what I did. I did like a lot of begging. I know that.
Well, I'm begging to be done with the news. I'm
so
Teresa
wait
Strong.
A minute. Oh, wait a minute. Wait
so
a minute.
Close.
The guy is going to go to prison for life, or he can go to prison
for
life.
Well, here's the thing: the guy who was trading drugs for sex who was, you know, committing a felony and having sex at the same time, he could potentially go to jail for life. Now, so far, nobody has been tried on this adultery thing, but the Detroit Free Press, the newspaper in Detroit, is pointing out that if you look at the nature of the law, you can be, you can get life in prison.
Are you kidding? All the guys I have for coke? Yeah. In prison.
Well, he's not going to do it. It's just potential.
Right. It's just one
potentially,
of those
they're just letting you know. Right. There are a lot of weird
you
laws on the books.
You can't have sex on a Tuesday from behind.
But, anyway. I mean, you cheat on a woman and you make her mad, she could possibly put you in jail for life.
She could also sue.
Yes, right. Exactly. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, speaking of blue laws, we are going to continue with what I like to call the TV. TV, that's right, the naming of Teresa's vagina. Okay, now, what is the category this week? Do we have it?
It's another one. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, ironically, I think it's TV shows.
Oh, really? All right. TV shows. Right. 866-901-ADAM. You got a new name for TV? Give us a call. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom is right at the top. Nice. Take a quick break. We'll be back with that after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Throughout the past year, we've been naming Teresa's vagina. We've tried stadiums.
We have Valley of the Sun.
Monster Park.
Geographical landmarks.
The Grand Canyon.
No, that's insulting, but City of Industry.
Band names.
The Used. I sort of like that.
Movie titles.
Big Mama's House. Lethal Weapon. An Inconvenient Truth.
And this time around, it's TV shows. Call 866-901-ADAM to name TV. Here's Adam. Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh. Yeah, we got some good ones here. Well, let me just throw you a few before we take yours.
Yeah, a couple of them are so good they stole mine, the bastards, and I'll let you have them.
SWAT, Small Wonder, Evening at the Apollo.
I like
nice.
That.
California's Gold.
Huel's in there.
This is amazing.
Collecting rocks.
It'd be the first one he was into. The Closer.
So we've accomplished our mission.
Cold Case, Full House, Ugly Betty.
Aww.
Good Eats with Rachel Ray.
Nice.
The Hair Bear Bunch.
Oh, that's two.
The Unit. The Soup and the Dog Whisperer. And let's see. Eight is Enough. Some would argue too much.
Right.
The Dead Zone. Land of the Lost. Weeds.
That's too long.
Give me a break. Petticoat Junction. Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
I'm just glad that no one chose Yes, Dear. Make me sound easy.
Well, I'm almost out because these brilliant friggin' callers.
You know, in life, my V doesn't inspire people, but on the radio, it inspires the listeners.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm inspired by your V almost constantly. I just think it'd be weird to tell you.
Thank you.
It's my muse. Like, once in a while when I have writer's block,
right.
I'll picture your V.
But you don't actually know what it looks like, right?
I feel like I can get a pretty good composite. You know, like blind people can feel your face.
I feel your wrist. Right.
Yeah, I feel I can do that with T's feet. You know where my feet are.
Well, now you look at
Let's
it.
Take That's some really, calls.
Yeah. Colby?
Adam, good morning.
What do you got?
Dude, I got two of them. I got Monster Garage.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Well done.
And Family Matters.
Oh, that's sweet.
Sweet, but I don't think you knew better than Monster Garage.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I should have kept it the Monster Garage.
That's how pretty
about,
good.
How about this, then? Pimp My Ride.
I don't think it's going to top Monster Garage.
No, I don't think it's going to top Monster Garage. But it's the only one I can come up with since all the callers and you wrote all the good ones.
Well, here's a good one. June?
Yeah, Fear Factor.
Nice. Very real. Very real
Hanging
element.
There's a bunch Thank of you. Worms and stuff. I ain't doing it.
Thank you.
Let's see. SpongeBob. Empty Nest.
Accurate. Accurate.
So is the not pregnant SpongeBob.
We got the Three's Company up there. I don't know. Twilight Zone. Not bad.
I like it. If we're going for classics, you have to have Make Room for Daddy.
Oh, you're just so bad.
We got Robert. Robert, you got Twilight Zone?
I have Twilight Zone, but I also remembered Night Stalker and Galloping Gourmet.
Huh.
I love the Galloping Gourmet, that little gay English dude.
Non sequitur, but yeah, that's good.
Yeah, 30-minute meals would have done.
David?
Yeah, it's a cold case.
Cold case. Solid.
Yeah.
Also, wait a minute. Lupe has a solid one here, too, as well. Lupe?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I have next.
Next. Hey.
Well, I like that Lupe called.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a woman name my V.
Yeah, that is
well,
nice.
You're welcome.
What are you doing, Lupe?
I'm at work.
So you're making valuable use of company time on your radio station naming T's V.
My boss is like 10 feet away.
What do you do?
I am an admin.
What does that mean?
Secretary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that an admin?
Administrative assistant.
Oh, uh-huh. Admin. I thought she said ad man. Yeah, like she came up with ad ideas. Yeah. Here's one I'm in love with. Maybe not quite Monster Garage, but it's pretty damn good. Jeremiah?
Yeah.
What do you got for TSV?
I got two of them, Highway to Heaven and Knight Rider.
I like Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Or Touched by an Angel. Would work.
Now, we did
Crickets.
Mystery Science Theater, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Oh, we didn't do Pee-wee's Playhouse, did we?
You are killing
no.
Man.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Viva La Bam, Fantasy Island,
huh.
The Pink Panther.
That's cute.
That's nice.
Rawhide. We did Solid Gold. Dr. Phil. Oh, that's Dr. Sweet. Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr.
I
Phil.
Just got
are
that.
You effing stupid?
What about Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah.
Access Hollywood.
Yeah, if it's a weekend.
What about All Access? That's an excellent show.
Inside Edition?
I like Ironside.
That's a great show, Raymond Burr in a wheelchair.
Let's talk to Shelley. Shelley?
Yeah?
You want to name TSV?
Green Acres.
Green Acres.
That makes me sound infected.
Yeah.
Well, oh, no.
What is the exact point of this, if not to have fun at the expense of your beef?
Good point.
Yes, you can't You can't put a puss on over naming your V. Hey, Shelly.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm sitting here listening to you guys all morning.
Oh, nice.
How are you doing?
You're not working? Are you working?
I like Danny Bonaducci. I'm glad you have him on your show.
Thank
we
you.
We like him, too.
Because I'm hearing they're getting rid of me like any minute, so like you keep those calls coming in.
Are you? That's not true.
I know. No, not at all. Well, God, I'm sorry, dear. I forgot your friends were here. No. Everything's fine.
Shelly, do you have a job or you just sit at home and listen to radio?
Nope. I don't have a job. I'm a middle-aged wine person.
A wine person?
Or blind.
Blind. No eyes. And you were saying, Adam was saying how a blind person, feels the face. Yeah, you pretty much have to feel everything in order to see it. You know?
So if I came to your house with no pants on and then did the hula, you'd never know.
No, well, I hear your grass skirt moving.
And when you say blind, you mean zero eyesight?
Zero, yes.
Not even light.
I think she actually said no eyes. Did you mean that literally?
No. I have eyes. They look like they work and everything, but I don't see anything.
Okay, can I give you this tip?
Sure.
Speaking of Stevie Wonder, I feel like the brothers were best at wearing the wraparound shades. Now a lot of blind people have taken to not wearing.
Please put them back on.
Please put them back on.
You look. It throws me.
My eyes don't bounce around though like some of them.
Okay.
You know what? If you're gonna be this honest, I'm gonna be this honest. If you're blind and you've got the totally effed up blind guy eyes and they're weird, I don't want to eat near you. Put your glasses back on. You're freaking me out. You're freaking out my kid.
Yeah, I'm going to take a step further. I'd like the blind to wear a welding mask.
All right, fine.
That's about a smoking helmet?
Dude, you leave my helmet alone. That's genius.
Hey, speaking of genius, Tom?
Yeah.
You have a name for TSV?
How about the 700 Club?
Oh, please. This one is 685, 700.
You round up sometimes.
Round it up. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back with a little something called So What Have We Learned after this. Oh, hey, there we go. Well, just a couple seconds left. So time for a little something called So What Have We Learned. Well, we've learned that by Danny Bonaducci simultaneously inventing the smoking helmet. Well, that made him the world's worst and the world's best parent at the same time. And rarely can you say that about a parent. The smoking helmet. Look for it. Well, I'm not even sure where you would find the smoking helmet. Also, you should catch Danny in my consensual rape tour, which is coming to a city near you as soon as I'm done juicing.
Going to a house near you.
I'm going to do one cycle.
Do what? You should.
Then
sure.
Put the top down on the goat, and we're hitting the road.
Because I got, like, the thing now. I get real people stuff from real doctors.
And lastly, when placing the proverbial carrot, the motivating carrot on the stick, put it in front of you. Let's not do what the Corollas do and have it right in the middle of the rear view mirror, which in essence makes you throw the car into reverse and then park and nap and eventually die of carbon monoxide poisoning. And there you go.
Good times.
Little something called So What Do We Learn? Tomorrow, Chris Knight.
That's right.
I shortened it to Chris from the Brady Bunch, Eric Estrada, ESPN's Stephen Smith. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Do you want to play this game or do you just want to start sucking?